జయం శుపాద పరమహంస పరిబ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదస్సు శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణ అరవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం. నిత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిబ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదస్సు శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతగోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శిల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీఅద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి వృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి భద్రపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమాంశుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాణి పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతి వాసుదేవాయ.
ఓం నమో భగవతి వాసుదేవాయ.
ఓం నమో భగవతి వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం పాఠాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణి భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబ త్వామనుసంధరామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి నమోస్తు దేవ్యాస విశాలబుద్ధే పుల్లారవిందాయన పత్రనేత్ర ఏన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న భార్యాదాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకవాణయ జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వౌషమిషలోకావోద్భోక్త గోపాలనందన పార్థో వత్స సుదీర్ఘోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటాజయద్రథజలా గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేళాకుల అశ్వథామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమకరా దుర్యోధనామూర్తిని సోత్తీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజసరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానగజసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జనషల్పదైరహరీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజక్కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయస్వే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయితే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మ వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్వన్వంది దివ్యై సవైర్వేదే సాంగపదై క్రమౌపనిషదైర్గాయందీయం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యందీయం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. This chapter, 13th chapter in Bhagavad Gita, as we spoke last Sunday, that the science begins from the body to the world, from body it begins and goes to the world outside. Adhyatmic life, spiritual life begins from body, the journey inwards, from body inwards, not to the world outside. To the body inwards it is. So, Adhyatma Yatra, or what Krishna says, spiritual life, is basically the journey inwards. So, whereas the body and the world is the modern science. Science is busy with the body as well as with the world, right? Whereas for Adhyatmic life, spiritual life, it is the inner world is spiritual life. But both begins from the body. The material science goes from body towards the world. The spiritual life begins from body inwards towards the soul. So, as few times it's spoken in the Bhagavatam, Viryani Tasya Akhila Lokapajam అంతర్బి పూరుషకాలరూపై మృతశ్చితో ఎత్తు మృదామృతం చ మాయామనుష్యస్ వదస్వ విద్వన్. యు విల్ సీ దాట్ ఇన్ ద దశమం యాజ్ వెల్ యాజ్ ఇన్ అనదర్ క్యాంటో యాజ్ వెల్. సో వెన్ యూ లుక్ అవుట్ సైడ్ శాస్త్రం ఈస్ కన్సర్న్డ్, శాస్త్రం ఈస్ కన్సర్న్డ్. వెన్ యూ లుక్ అవుట్ సైడ్ దెర్ ఇస్ డెత్. వెన్ యూ లుక్ ఇన్వర్డ్స్ దెర్ ఇస్ ఇమ్మోర్టాలిటీ. సోల్ ఇమ్మోర్టల్. బాడీ అండ్ ద వరల్డ్ ఈస్ టెంపరీ. It has a lifespan. It will die after some time. So, keeping all this in mind, you have to look at this first verse. Idam shariram kaundeya kshetramitya vidiyate edam etad yo vettidam prahu kshetrajna iti tadvida. Obviously, that first verse is, some Bhagavad Gita's have that verse and some Bhagavad Gita's don't have that verse. The first one, Arjuna's question. ప్రగతిం పురుషం చైవ క్షేత్రం క్షేత్రజ్ఞమేవ చ ఏదద్వేదితమిచ్ఛామి జ్ఞానం చేయం చ కేశవ. దట్ వర్స్ ఇస్ మిస్సింగ్ ఇన్ ది ఆచార్య స్వామిజీస్ కమెంటరీ యాజ్ వెల్ యాజ్ ఇన్ మెనీ అదర్ కమెంటరీస్ అస్ వెల్. సో ద థింగ్ ఈస్ వాట్ హీ మెన్షన్ దేర్ వాస్ దట్ ది ఇన్ ద లాస్ట్ చాప్టర్ ఫ్రమ్ అద్వేష్ట సర్వభూతానాం ఆన్ వర్డ్స్ హీ స్పోక్ అబౌట్ ది ద నెసెసిటీ టు మెయింటైన్ దట్ without any dvesham, ryagam dvesham towards anyone. And until the end, how the nishta or the steadiness of the sannyasis were spoken till the end of the chapter. So, and basically Krishna called that as a devotee. Devotee with that, beginning with advaishta sarabhudanam, ends with that, the last verse, sannyasinam. So, what should be the sannyasis nishta? In that process, Acharya Swamiji mentioned there that in the quoting from Mahabharatam, he says, there he uses the word Brahmana for that. Who is a Brahmana? He says, Yena jena chida channo, yena jena chida shida, yatra kujana shayisya, tam deva brahmanam vidu. Mahabharatam Shandi Bhava. This quotation comes from there. He is saying, who is a Brahmana? Brahmana means totally satisfied always. Whatever comes in life, accepting it. Whatever he gets clothes to wear, he will wear that. And whatever food he gets in life, he takes that. And whatever place he gets to sleep, he sleeps there. This is how relaxed a Brahmana he is. Definition of a Brahmana in Mahabharatam. Yena jena chida achanno, yena jena chida ashida, yatra kujana shayisyal tam deva brahmanam vidu. Mahabharatam says this, right? Because it is in reference to Aniketa Sthiramadir Bhaktimanya Priya Nara. Krishna said that Aniketam. Aniketam means one who has no place to stay. That one who has no place of residence, in other words. So all these references to the Brahmana, to a devotee, they are more or less the same thing. Brahmana is a devotee. And most of the qualifications, what's spoken about the devotee, is applies to Brahmana. And the Brahmana's definition in Mahabharatam is like this. Acharya Swamiji takes it from Mahabharatam and says that. So, here, we'll see the next verse. Idam shariram kaundeya kshetramitya vidhiyate. And edad yo vetidam prahu kshetrajna iti tadvidam. Arjuna, that shariram, this body, hiryade iti shariram, one is continuously getting destroyed. That is the nature of this body. It's continuously getting destroyed. And that means every moment it is dying. Every moment it is dying. And therefore this body is referred to as kshetram. Kshetram iti abhidhiyade, right? It's good enough if we know that, but our anubhava mandalam, that means our field of experience, is in two different ways. Aham and idam. Aham and idam. Idam means what is in front of us. That means this body is idam. That is what is in front of us, right? There's only one experience what we have where idam is not present, and that is aham. That's me, the body, the awareness, consciousness in me, right? Idam begins with the body And what does it say? It is called a Kshetram. What is called a Kshetram? Why? Why is it called a Kshetram? Because Kshetram means basically a field. In the field you throw the seeds, right? And then after some time the plants come up, and due course of time it's ready for harvest, and you harvest it, right? So you have sown a lot of seeds in the field, and the seeds have sprouted, and in course of time it came about as plants, and at some point in time all the fruits have come from that, and you are ready for harvest of that, right? So, in the same way, we have also come with this body with the same situation like that. There is inside this body, there is a lot of things which are in storage, but it is going to be experienced sometime in the life later on, right? You can think about this way, that when you are about 8 or 10 years old, a little bit they are becoming conscious of life and intelligence is started developing at that time. You never knew that what is all going to happen in life, is it not? What I am going to experience in this whole life, I had no idea. And I didn't have any indication that life is going to be like this in the future, the rest of the life, what's all going to happen, right? So, that means at different times in life, these kind of thoughts will come into my mind, and this kind of experiences I'm likely to have. I had no clue about it. Nobody has any clue about it, right? So, and what kind of work I'll do in the future, how the work will impact on me, how I will have my interactions with the work, what I'm going to do, I didn't have a clue. So, at a particular time in life, how I will behave in this world, how I will interact with this world, I couldn't do anything about it. I didn't know how it is all going to happen, right? And that behavior, what has come from us at different times in life, depends on the seeds that was inside us. The seed that was inside us, right? So, based on that seed, what was inside us, we were reacting in the world towards others. We got angry with some people, sometimes we loved somebody, and sometimes we felt envy, sometimes we felt pride. Different emotions and thoughts came in us, depending on those seeds, what was lying inside in the vasana form, in the subtle body, right? All this is which has sprouted from the seeds that was inside, right? And it will keep coming out now and then, the seeds that is inside, right? So, a person who has collected a lot of these seeds of these different emotions and thoughts, that is lying there inside when we had come and taken this body. It was present in the subtle body, and along then we got this gross body, and therefore that is why this body is called a Kshetram. Because the seeds are already there. We have planted the seed in there from different lifetimes, and that seed is lying inside in our subtle body, and we got a gross body. That means the field is ready for the crops to grow. So basically this body is nothing but a field for the crops to grow, and the crops are dependent on the vasanas what we have created in previous lifetimes that has come to us in this life in this form. And you can see that if you analyze your own life, how did I behave myself in different situations in this world when I had to interact with different people? What made me angry? What made me upset? What made me happy? What made me angry, what made me proud, what made me envy, and all kinds of things, all dependent on those seeds that were planted inside. And that is the reason why Krishna calls it as a Kshetram. because this body is a product of all this, all that what you have harvested in previous lifetimes through karma, and that vasana that was stored inside in the form of the seed, it has got an opportunity to sprout again in another field, and that is this body. This body is a field that is immediately releasing everything from what was collected from the previous life, right? So, that is what he is saying here. Several seeds we have collected, the seeds, and it is in the, this is the field, this body, and that is why this shariram is called idam. Idam means that padartham. Idam shariram kaundeya, Krishna is saying. Idam shariram, right? I am a thing what I can see, this body I can see, right? And me, the real person is inside me, seeing this body. Who is noticing this body? The body doesn't have the experience, me. That experience body doesn't have. But someone who is sitting inside the body and experiencing that, that is what he is saying here. Etad yo veti. One who is inside and who knows what is going on in the field. Idam shariram kaundeya kshetram mithyabhidiyate. This kshetram is nothing but a field for the vasanas what we have collected from previous life to come about, a field. They are plants and they grow in this field called the body. Idam shariram kaundeya kshetram mithyabhidiyate. And edadyo vetidam prahu. And andaryami, Krishna inside, which is my real identity, jiva, when in my, our pure spiritual nature, he is the observer of everything what is happening inside this body. Inside this body. So very nicely Krishna has put that to explain to us that this life is a continuation of the previous life. This life is not totally independent. It's a continuation of our previous life, previous karma, previous vasanas what we have created. That is all inside us. When it gets a right time, it will sprout and come out in some form. Those vasanas. Edam shariram kaundeya. Shariram is that field. Kshetram ityabhidiyade. It's called kshetram. And edad yo vetidam prahu. But the knower of this kshetram is inside. He knows what is going on inside this kshetram. And kshetrajna iditadvita. And he is the kshetrajna. So, kshetram, kshetrajnan. Kshetram is the field, kshetrajna is the knower of the field. And, so, this is all talking about us. You see, rishis are saying this, kshetrajna, the word, right? So, people with knowledge, right? This chapter, not only this chapter, whole of Bhagavad Gita, we shouldn't study it like the way we study physics and chemistry. So those things, right? For example, physics, chemistry, you will study for chemistry, for example, two parts of hydrogen, one part of oxygen joins together and water comes and all that, right? This is not what it is talking about. This is talking about us. Talking about us, right? This shariram body is kshetram. And in this kshetram, in this body, we have got a lot of experiences, different things we are experiencing, right? In different times in life, right? And some of those experiences in a very subtle form, in the form of emotions and thoughts, some experiences get transformed into action in the form of karma. So some of our experiences in the form of thoughts and emotions, and some other experiences is in the form of karma, right? Which is the after effect of that thoughts and emotions, right? So, and I react to that situation, whichever way the seeds are inside me. If you study this chapter, you will understand what Krishna said before. Ahangara vimodhatma kartaham iti manyate prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Actually, we are not conscious of our own structure, who we are. We are thinking that everything is ahangaram, decides everything, ahangaram does everything. No, it's not. Krishna said there, isn't it? അഹങ്കാര വിമൂഢാത്മ കർത്താഹം ഇതി മന്യത്തെ. വെരി പ്രൊഫൗണ്ട് സ്റ്റേറ്റ്മെന്റ് ആണ് ടീച്ചർ ഇൻ ദ ഭഗവത്ഗീത. യു ഡോണ്ട് ഫൈൻഡ് സച്ച് എ സ്റ്റേറ്റ്മെന്റ് എനിവർ എൽസ്. പ്രകൃതേ ക്രയമാണി ഗുണേ കർമാണി സർവശ. എവറിങ് ഈസ് കണ്ടക്ടഡ് ബൈ ദ ഗുണം ഇൻ കൺജക്ഷൻ വിത്ത് ദ വാസനസ്. It is conducted by the gunam. Three modes of nature is doing all the karmam in this world. In the presence of Chaitanyam, in the presence of Antaryami, Krishna, Chaitanyam, all karmam is done by the Prakriti. He made that statement. And again here Krishna is saying that Kshetrajnyam jhapimam viddi sarvakshetreshu bharatam. Kshetra kshetrajnayor jnanam yatal jnanam matam mama. So knowing the kshetram and kshetrajnyan, the one who is inside Antaryami, Kshetrajna, and Kshetram, this body. So, what is going on in this field, Kshetram, knowing all what is going on and observing all that, somebody is staying behind, looking at all these things. His name is Kshetrajna. And so, this Kshetra, because he knows Kshetram, because he knows the Kshetram, he is called Kshetra Nyaha. Nyaha, that's the word. Nyaha means one who knows it, one who knows what is going on in the Kshetram, or to know, or the knower, that's the word for that. Nyaha, that's why it's called Kshetra Nyaha, Kshetra Nyaha. So Nyaha, is a word, use the smallest word what you can use for the soul is Nyaha or Atma, the smallest word, right? So you will see this people who have taken this side of the science very seriously, they have tried to understand this, where this is coming from. So Atma in his smallest way of saying that is Nyaha. Yaha. He knows everything. He one the knower of everything. What's going on? Full of consciousness. This is discussed in the Ishopanishad, discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, discussed in the Bhagavatam, in so many places. The knower. Who is the knower? Everything what is going on, right? And that capacity to know things and be aware, become conscious of that, that capacity for that, right? Adhyatmashastram, I am. That is the simplest word for whole Vedantam is covered in that. Aham, I am. Right? So similarly, Nyaha, the whole Adhyatmashastram in whole Adhyatmashastram is summarized into two letters. Nyaha. Yeah. One who is present inside this body and one who is knowing everything what is going on in this body and one who understands the different movements that's happening in our mind and this one who is knowing all these things is different from the vastu that is being known. That means the body, mind, senses, intelligence, ego, all its movements is known to that vastu inside Nyaha. So, just like if I wear this dhoti, the clothi is different from me, right? Dhoti is mine, but I am not the dhoti. This is my hand, but my hand is not me, right? Similarly with the legs, similarly with the head, the body, everything. This is my body, but body is not me. Body is not me, right? If I say that it's mine, I am not this body because body is something I can see with my eyes, right? And it is something that I understand exists and that awareness is in me, the existence of this body. And also the nature of the body is it is subject to change, continuously changing, right? In other words, body is experienced by me inside. I am experiencing the existence of the body in me, right? So, whereas body itself is not an experience. Body is experience. Whatever body is experiencing, I am experiencing in my mind what's happening inside this body, right? So, because of that, all of this is categorized in the Vedantam as drishyam. Body is drishyam, mind is drishyam, ahangaram is drishyam, buddhi is drishyam, everything is drishyam. Because all what is happening inside that is known to the Andaryami inside. Andaryami is a witness to everything. Andaryami is a witness to everything. Right? So when we say idam, idam shariram kaundeya, as he said, idam does not mean that the gross body only. Gross body is there, but along with that, it is through this body that I get to know this world. So, similarly, kshetram, with that, it's not only the body, the whole creation, whole world is covered in that. Right? So, in the 7th chapter, Krishna has discussed this, the knowledge of the Absolute, right? Calls it as aparaprakriti, right? Aparaprakriti, paraprakriti, two things Krishna has spoken there, paramatma. Aparaprakriti means that everything, what you are seeing through the eye, that process, right? Similarly, drishyam, what you see through the eyes, what you hear through the ear, and what you smell through the nose, and then what you taste through the tongue, and what you touch through your skin, right? Shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham, right? All these five things through the senses we are experiencing, and but behind that, it has its impact on the mind, and emotions are created within the mind. And for example, if you have only got the eyes, you won't be able to see. Just because you got the eyes, behind the eye you need the mind. Otherwise you can't see anything. You won't experience it, in other words. Eyes may see, eyes is just a hole. But eyes, to see any senses, if it has to work, if senses has to work, behind the senses, the mind should be there. Mind should be there. So, it is the mind that is seeing the world through the eye. It's the mind that is hearing the sound through the ear. It's the mind who is touching the different things through the sense, through the sparsham, through the skin. And similarly, you can see, it is not very difficult to understand, because sometimes you feel a different problem with the eye. You are not able to see very clearly. And then you say that I have to check it out, the power of my glasses, right? And so who understood that the eye doesn't have the power to see, or the eye is having a problem in seeing? Who has understood that? I didn't understand that. The eye didn't understand that. But actually it is the mind that is going through the eye and seeing the object, has understood that the through eye requires some changes. Or in other words, the power of the glasses has to change. The mind has made the decision inside, right? So, in the same way with the ear also, I keep saying that I can't hear very well now, getting old, right? So who said that? Ear didn't tell me that. It is the mind that is reporting to me. So the mind goes through the ear and notices that the power of hearing has gone bad, and mind makes that. So everything is coming back to the mind. All senses ultimately comes back to the mind, right? So, mind and senses together, they are carrying out in the vacant state everything. And sometimes you can see that another side to it, when you go into the dream state, even though senses are not there, still you are able to see, you are able to hear, you are able to taste, you are able to touch. All these activities, what is in the vacant state, you are able to do that even in the dream state, even though none of the senses are working at that moment, right? So what happens then? There is no senses, but mind does all the five functions in the dream state, right? So when the mind is doing all these activities, who is observing that? Sometimes you can see, we ourselves say this to people, that I'm not in a good mood now. So suppose sometimes comes to us, you say to them that, look, I'm not in a good mood, and because I don't know how I will react if you say something to me, therefore, no. Sometimes you may talk like this to others, right? So I'm keeping myself conscious of my situation with the mind, right? And I have understood that the mind is not in the right place. There's something problem with my mind, right? And who understand that? That's not understood by the mind, that's understood by the buddhi. Buddhi senses that what's going on in the mind. If the mind is not in the right frame of mind, what we say, right frame of mind, right? If it's in an angry mood or if it's in a fed up state, when you come, I'll say, please leave me alone, let me sit some time quietly because my mind is not in a good state. Who is making that decision? Buddhi. Buddhi decides that, right? So buddhi says to me that mind is in a off mood, mood off, right? And who is saying this to us? That it is the situation with the mind is sensed by the buddhi, and buddhi makes us to say that to others, right? And that buddhi, what is saying this, does not depend, cannot remember everything, cannot remember, it forgets things, right? For example, buddhi makes decisions all the time, but what decisions buddhi has made in the past, it's not staying with us. In different instances throughout life, buddhi has made many, many decisions, but now that memory has gone from inside, right? Just like you can see, when you went to school and college, you studied a lot of things, and all that's gone now. Where is all that now? You don't need all that for your job now, is it? It's all a waste of time. So many years wasted, right? So, and who understands that? That when you have no buddhi in the sushupti, in the deep sleep state, who says that buddhi is not working? Buddhi is not working in the deep sleep state, right? There's someone behind that who is a witness to all these things happening in the buddhi, in the mind, in the senses, everything, right? That Sakshi, he is the Antaryami. And he is called as the Drik also. And Drashtava, these are words in the Shastram. And Sushupti, what we have is that there is a, by the time gross body has gone, mind has gone, senses have all gone, buddhi has gone, but there is a very thin layer of coverage in the form of avidya inside us. That is why we are not able to experience the Antaryami, the Drik, right? So, but somebody is observing this sleep also, and you can see that if you give attention to that, certain very completely unknown situations in the deep sleep, totally unknown situation, right? And what has happened in that deep sleep state, we have not taken serious note of that, right? So we are experiencing it, we get a good sleep, right? And when we wake up in the morning, sometimes we say, well, today's last night's sleep, I didn't get a very deep sleep, I say like that. The sleep was not deep enough, right? And so, who is the one who is seeing the depth of the sleep? You have to ask all these questions. Who was observing the depth of the sleep? And you are able to say that when you wake up in the morning. Who was doing that? See how the rishis thought about our deep sleep state, sushupti. Science doesn't care. Science says as long as you get a good sleep, they say old people should have at least 7 hours sleep. that finishes, the science is over. This is how much science has got to say to us. If you get a good 7 hours sleep, you take some sleeping tablets or whatever it you do, tranquilizers, what they call, and you get a good sleep. So much concerned about the body, doesn't know anything else more than that, right? So, who woke up in the morning and reported to us that recorded thing, what happened there? It was done by the buddhi, but one who was spoken by the buddhi, but buddhi got that information from the Andaryami. Andaryami spoke through the buddhi in the morning, right? So that knowledge, which is Andaryami is knowledge actually, isn't it? Vadandita tattvavedam tattvamya jnanam advayam. Advaya jnanam is Andaryami. Is not affected by the sleep either. And even when we were sleeping, he remained separate from everything. And he observed the depth of the sleep, remaining aloof from us. In the sushupti state, remaining aloof from us, he observed the sleep of deep sleep, the depth of it. He measured that and he expressed it through buddhi when we woke up. Because you see, otherwise when you are deep sleep, when you go into deep sleep, there's nobody there, is there? Body is not there, mind is not there, senses are not there, intelligence is not there, ahankaram is not there. Angaram is not there. Everything has gone. And then somebody has observed the depth of our sleep and was able to express it through the buddhi in the morning. And that's him, Andaryami, right? So, and he is called Kshetrajna. So, you see, understand what this word Kshetrajna means. What does Kshetra means? What Kshetrajna means? Kshetrajna means the one who was observing everything. Everything all the time. He is observing in vacant state also. But vacant state and the dream state, the problem is, it's all mixed up with all the gross body and the subtle body. So it is difficult to separate Kshetrajna in the normal level state, in the vacant state and the dream state. But much more access to Kshetrajna is there in the deep sleep. You get much more closer connection with the Kshetrajna in the deep sleep state, right? And we have got these three types of bodies, isn't it, which we are experiencing all the time. This gross body, and then the in the dream state also, then what that is what is called the Sushma Shariram, which expresses itself in the dream state. In the vacant state, the gross body expresses everything. The access to subtle body is very limited in the vacant state. We only know that it is there, something is happening inside in the subtle body. But when the gross body shuts down in the dream state, the subtle body comes into action and it expresses itself in the form of dream. Right? So then after that, subtle body also shuts down. Then you go into the deep sleep state. And then you are saying that, I didn't know anything, I slept so well, right? Just like an experience that, you know how you feel in very cold weather, you get a nice blanket, you cover yourself, and you had a good sleep with that warmth. And such an experience, but just like that blanket you are covering, in Sushupti also, you had some coverage of experiencing the Andaryami. There was a coverage, right? But it was not in the form of sukham or dukham, it was in the form of anandam. Because there is no sukham dukham in the deep sleep, isn't it? It's not sukham dukham, it is anandam it is. Sukham dukham is all what you perceive through senses, right? So, in the sthula shariram, gross body, there is sukham dukham. In the sopnam, in the dream state, there is sukham dukham. But in the deep sleep, there is no sukham dukham. right? There is only Anandam, right? Anandam. So, nobody has told till now. We all say that we had a good sleep and we got refreshed, right? And nobody has said so far that I slept in very distress, deep distress. You can't say that because deep sleep means happiness. Anandam only. There is no distress there, right? So, where did that come from? That Anandam in the deep sleep state, that Karana Shariram. That is called Karana Shariram, right? Karana Shariram, or causal body as it's called, is a very thin layer, right? And that happiness has come from the Atma, but has come from the Atma. But Karana Shariram, what did it do? That Karana Shariram, it does not allow you to get to know the soul. Andaryami inside, it puts the cover on top of us. That's Karana Shariram. Karana Shariram is a covering on top of the Andaryami, which does not allow us to make contact with the Atma. So, but on the other hand, this Karana Shariram did not allow us to fall into the gross body or the subtle body, and therefore there is no distress either. Gross body and subtle body causes only distress. And that distress didn't experience because of this Karana Shariram. Because when we are in the Karana Shariram, the gross body and subtle body suffering, happiness and distress does not affect us. It doesn't bother us, right? But this Karana Shariram is like this, that suppose I spread a cloth here and I'm sitting on top of that cloth. Similarly, Karana Shariram I spread and it is covering the soul. And on top of that is the other two bodies, Sushma Shariram and the Stula Shariram. The subtle body and the gross body on top of that, right? And so, so Stula Shariram, the gross body and the Sushma Shariram and the Karana Shariram, we enter into Karana Shariram, that's when the sleep comes to us. The sleep, what we experience, means that you are in the Karana Shariram. If you are dreaming, means you are in the Supna Shariram. If you are active in the world, means you are in the Stula Shariram. Right? So, and as soon as you move into Karana Shariram, Dukkham has gone. Only Anandam is there. Right? And so, suppose even if somebody cuts off my hands and legs and everything, if I get a sleep, then I'm not bothered what happened to my gross body, isn't it? This is why they, in the Second World War, they say that the doctors understood that once you get a deep sleep, the gross body is not disturbing him anymore. So therefore the soldiers who came back from the battlefield, they were given heavy doses of tranquilizers and put them to sleep, so that the parts that they were lost from their body, hands, legs, everything chopped off from the battlefield, did not bother them, and they were peaceful and able to sleep in that way. So, similarly, suppose I'm suffering with some heavy diseases, it's giving me so much trouble, cancer or stroke or whatever it is, different types of things, right? And once I get a good sleep, I'm not conscious of the stroke, I'm not conscious of the cancer, I'm not conscious of anything, right? So, there what is happening is, without our knowledge, we get to meet Kshetrajna there, right? And this is spoken in the Bhagavatam. Very nicely put, Shukha Brahmarshi in there. The problem is that, when we read the books, and this is problem with all Vedic literature, rishis meant something, we will read it from the surface and then we will think we have understood what rishis have to say, but most often we'll miss the point. We'll miss the point. That is the rishi. Because rishis wants us to think about things, just not take instructions day and night from them. They don't want that kind, because they know that if it has not gone inside deep enough, it's not going to help very much in spiritual life. Spiritual life, it can only help if the message goes inside deeply and the person is affected by that, the changes, whatever they have spoken, right? So, the thing is that rishis have said this and we also know, as we get older, you're getting older and older, you'll see that your attention in the body is demanding more attention than any time before. You were able to give up a lot of things in life before, but as you get older, you are getting more closer to the body. Why? Because body is giving trouble and body needs a lot of maintenance. In other words, bodily concept of life increases. Whereas spiritual life is how to become free from the body. How to become free from the body. Yeah. Krishna is saying this to us to make us aware that the old age is also, if you get too attached to the body, it could only end up in a, that means at the time of death there is no chance of becoming free from the body. So even to a little extent, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will keep pushing this all the time. He is saying this, to become free from the body, freedom from the body, freedom from the body. He keeps repeating this, right? So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, when the wives of the Brahmanas, Viprabhatni Moksham, that's part of the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, right? When they came to see Krishna, and when they saw Krishna from a distance, they gave up everything from their, they gave up their husbands who were performing the sacrifices there in Vrindavan. And as soon as they came to know that Krishna and Balaram is tending the cows in the forest, and the cowherd boys have come and asked for some food. He said, not, you know that famous story. And Krishna decided to give them an opportunity to see him. And first darshanam for the Viprabhatnis, wives of the Brahmanas, right? And up to that point, everything is very clear in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's an amazing situation what's happening there, right? They come running from their home, give up everything. They didn't listen to their husbands. Husbands were telling them to cook everything, prepare all the prasadam for the yagam, for the sacrifice they were doing. And husbands were busy with the sacrifice. They are all brahmanas of the highly learned brahmanas in the performing sacrifices, right? But as soon as they got to hear that Krishna has come, they decided to come and see Krishna instead of being busy with the yagam or sacrifices, right? When they came over, running there, what did they see? Krishna is standing there, leaning over a cow and playing the flute, right? And he had a lotus flower in his hand and he is turning it around, right? And if you look into the Bhagavatam, you will find there this particular scene, what was spoken there. If you look at the 23rd chapter, 10th canto, 23rd verse, Krishna's situation there. Shyamam Hiranya Paridhim Vanamalya Varha Dhadu Pravala Nadavesha Manuvradam Se Vinyasta Hastamidarena Dunanam Abjam Karnol Pavala Kapola Mukhabjahasam. It's a Dhyana Shlokam. Dhyana Shlokam means a form of Krishna for meditation. How he received the wives of the Brahmanas who came there, right? And then he says, in the next verse, if you look, what Shukha Brahmarshi had to say about it. Prayam Shuddha Priyadamomaya Tamodaya Karnapuri Asmin Nimagna Manasasta Samadachiram Dhaihi Andha Pravesha Suchiram Parirabhyatabam Pratyam Yadhabhimatayo Vijahur Narendraham. Pratyam yadhabhimadayo vijahur narendra, he says. Pratyam yadhabhimadayo vijahur narendra. Sri Shuka Brahmarshi is saying here that what he is saying is, every day our mind, which wanders around in this world through the senses, at the night, after whole day busy with the world through the senses, right? In the night, mind withdraws from the senses, and he goes back. Till then, mind is busy through the senses and the world. Through the senses, it goes to the world and embraces the world through whole day. But in the night, when it is tired, the mind withdraws from the senses. It's not going to the world anymore, outside. Instead, it goes to Prajnan. Prajnan is Krishna Andaryami, inside. And he embraces him in the deep sleep. And he wants to have that happiness of that embrace from the Andaryami in the deep sleep. That's what he's saying that. Prajnam, he says there, Prajnam yadha abhimatayo vijahur narendra. In the middle of this, he's saying this, right? And what he's saying is that when he goes back, he is experiencing a certain happiness, what he didn't get from the world. Throughout the day, the mind went with the senses to the world, tried to enjoy the world, but got tired in the evening. Comes back, and then he goes to Andaryami, and he wants to be embraced by the Andaryami, right? And even if for a short period of time, if he gets that, he gets a happiness. Similarly, he's saying here, Krishna, Shukumar is saying here, when the wives of the Brahmanas, when they saw Krishna, right, immediately their vision in the world outside has gone and experienced Krishna's presence inside them. Krishna gave them that experience, that he is a Sandaryami present inside, and Andarmukhatvam came to them, inward looking nature. As soon as they saw Krishna, Krishna gave them that experience that their attention in the world has gone completely. All the wives of the Brahmanas, they who came there, their attention in the world has gone, and they experience the same happiness what the mind experiences in the night when it comes out of the world and enjoys with Andaryami in the deep sleep state. Pratyam yadhabhi madayo vijahur narendra, he says. Shukha Brahmarshi has found this as the best comparison to explain to us that situation with the wives of the Brahmanas, right? Knowingly or unknowingly, they experience that samadhi stage, right? And that is Shukha Brahmarshi's words, right? So remember that, right? So Sushupti, that deep sleep, right? This experience, what you get, that you are not getting that in the Jagrat or in the Sopnam, right? In Sopnam and Jagrat, you don't get this experience. And Jagrat, Sopnam and deep sleep, or Jagrat, Sopnam, Sushupti, in all these three states, when it's happening to us, the one who is observing all these three states is the same Andaryami. Jagrat state also is observing what is going on inside. Dream state also is observing, and Sushupti also he is observing. He is the one who is awake in all the three states, right? So, when I am awake in the vacant state, in Sopnam, what happened? Sopnam, the me in Sopnam, which was experiencing the vacant state, is gone to sleep, right? And the one who has slept in the dream state is awake now and is seeing the Sopnam in the dream state. In the dream state, right? In the vacant state, he was busy with the world. The jiva, ahangaram, was busy with the world. But the ahangaram's nature has changed in the dream state. Jiva is ahangaram, right? Ahangaram is jiva. So ahankaram in the world outside, in the vacant state, it behaved in a particular way. Busy with the senses, mind, world outside, body, all these activities were busy with that. Same ahankaram's nature changed, that is ahankaram is jiva. Jiva's nature, identity changed in the dream state, when it went to the dream state. In the dream state what has happened is that he is watching, seeing the dream, and at the same time behind that the Antaryami is present inside giving support to the jiva to experience the dream state and bringing the vasanas from inside and creating the dream for him to live in the dream world, right? So, and similarly, when the dream state is shut down and you go into the deep sleep state, there also, as we saw this morning, that he remained as a witness to everything, about the intensity of the sleep, everything, and he told the buddhi, and when you woke up, buddhi was able to report about that. So in all the three states, who is experiencing all that? He is called Nyaha. That is that word Nyaha means. Kshetrajnam cha bhimam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata kshetram kshetrajnayor jnanam yattat jnanam matam mama. These verses are coming from the Upanishads, knowledge, right? So, in the second first verse, he said, idam shariram kaundeya kshetram itya vidhiyate kshetra edadyo vetidam prahu kshetrajnam iditadvida. So this edadyo vetidam prahu means, in these three states, one who knows everything what is going on. Edadyo vetidam prahu, edadyo vetidam prahu is kshetrajnam. Is kshetrajnam. So who is kshetrajnam, right? And present inside in our body, and saying, and he says, I know what's happening, and so his presence is difficult to locate, how his presence is there, right? And all you can see that from him, a very, very, very small ray of his presence permeates into the mind, permeates into the body, permeates into the senses, permeates into intelligence, everything, right? So, so that presence is Kshetrajna, And sometimes it is due to his presence that you will see, is experience him, his presence inside. If you close your eyes, right, and all kinds of thoughts are coming in the mind. Where is that coming from, right? Similarly, different types of emotions are coming, and at the same, again, sometimes deep sleep is coming, which is tamogunam. Tamogunam vikaram is sleep. So tamogunam comes and puts this veil and we go to sleep, right? So in behind all these things, it is like this, that there is a pot, it has got a small hole, and there is a lamp inside the pot. So through that small hole, a ray of light is coming out, because of the lamp inside. Similarly, within us, that all kinds of thoughts and emotions are going on in the subtle body. And then we have also got the sleep, deep sleep, because caused by the tamogunam. Through all these thoughts, emotions, and the tamogunam and the sleep, everything, through all that, a ray of light is coming out. That is this Antaryami. Antaryami, right? And imagine how far he, even though he is closest to us, even closest to us, right? In spite of that, we feel that he is too far from us. He is right inside us here. This is a very important thing in spiritual life to understand. All other things, you have to use your mind and intelligence to study the world, to study different things in this world and everything. But this one thing doesn't require any studies. It's only a question of recognizing it. And that depends on our Chitta Shuddhi. Actually, spiritual life, Shastram is saying this, Krishna is saying this, there's nothing much to study in Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. There's nothing much to study as such. Studies and all, actually, it can only help you to understand the depth of spiritual life, right? What is actually required is Chitta Shuddhi. Chitta Shuddhi is not there, it could be a very long process. Very, very long process. So, in order to make us clear to us this, you will see in the Bhagavatam how it is spoken. If you take notice of these things, right? Bhagavatam is saying to us that, Upanishads are also saying, Bhagavad Gita is also saying, that the knowledge of the soul's presence inside, it's just a question of recognizing it, that he exists inside, right? And that recognition is the most difficult part for us. And we are not able to recognize it. For example, if a upadesham is given, spiritual instruction is given to somebody, right? It should work, provided the person who is receiving it is ready for it. That spiritual maturity, it is called pakvam. Pakvam means that he is ready. Ripened fruit, it will fall. In the same way, a spiritually one who is purified himself in the mind, when there is no chittavritti inside, that's what it is. There is no chittavritti happening anymore. Thought waves are not developing inside. That person is ready for receiving the knowledge and it will happen to him instantaneously. Instantaneously it has to happen. It is not dependent on the mind. It is not dependent on the intelligence either. Mind and intelligence has nothing to do with self-realization. And in order to prove that, in the Bhagavatam, Prahlada's story is spoken. When Srinarayana Maharshi went and spoke Bhagavata Dharmam to Kayadhu, Kayadhu didn't get it. Prahlada got it. To prove to us, Prahlada's mind is not developed, intelligence is not developed, he has no idea of anything, still it worked for him. How did that happen? To show to us that spiritual transmission is different. You can study whole Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam whole life, but if Chitta Shuddhi has not happened, that message will not get in. So, in order to tell us that, spiritual life is totally dependent on that Chitta Shuddhi is caused by Bhakti. That's where Bhakti's role comes in. So, that point is so important that the spiritual self-realization is very simple. If Chitta Shuddhi is adequate, or if the person has become very matured or pakvam in that way, the message, if it is spoken, it will straight away go into the right spot inside and realization will be experienced immediately without any further delay. So it's not dependent on anything else except Chitta Shuddhi. So that is what the point he is making here. That so this Kshetrajnam, to give attention to Kshetrajna is important. The Kshetrajna is present there, right? And every great personality will agree with this, that they all got to know Kshetrajna purely through bhakti and there was no other way, right? Whereas if you, normally you can see in our life, if you want to study a complex subject, you buy all sorts of books, study all of them, read them and keep your brain heated up with all the knowledge what has to come from that, right? And so, and then also it does not stay for a long time, it stays for some time in our brain. This is not, self-realization is not like that. That you study a lot of books and then from that you get all the information and then you invest all your brain in that and develop the proper understanding about it. That's not how this process works. Right? So, and that is why in Vishnu Sahasranamam, the word used sulabhaha about self-realization. Krishna is mentioned as sulabhaha, easily available, right? Siddha, suddha, sulabhaha, right? So, because this vastu, Andaryami, has not to come from anywhere else. All, we have already got it. It's just a question of recognizing it. We are not able to recognize him now at the moment, right? And that we have to, what we have already got it, but we have to recognize it inside, right? So that is what he is saying here. Idam shariram kaundeya kshetramitya vidiyade. Idam shariram kaundeya kshetramitya vidiyade. So these three bodies, stulam, sushmam, karanam, gross body, subtle body and the causal body, all three of them together is called kshetram. And kshetram. Now, temple is also called a kshetram, isn't it? Temples are also called a kshetram, right? Just like in the kshetram, there is the deity room or garbhagriham or Sri Govil, whatever we call that. In there, the deity is there. Similarly, it is based on this concept only, the temples were built, based on this understanding of the body, that the gross body, the subtle body and the causal body are the three pragarams inside. Pragaram means three circumambulation path. The most outward path of circumambulation is the gross body. The one inside is the subtle body, and still one inside was the causal body, which is the deity room's walls, and inside that, Andaryami inside is the deity. So, all these three bodies combined together is called a kshetram, and giving, because of the presence of that Andaryami in the inside, or the deity in the temple becomes relevant, right? And you get to know that because of his presence, all the other three bodies are known, its existence is known, and that is called avabhodam, the presence, that awareness inside. Another word used is jnapti, another place used with jnapti, or sometimes it's called pratyabhijna, and some, or astitvam. These are all different words for the same thing, right? And that pratyabhijna, astitvam, jnapti is called kshetrajna, is called kshetrajna, right? So, so simple terms, body is a kshetram and awareness or bodham inside, present inside this body is kshetrajna, right? And to make us more conscious of this, Krishna is using all the terminology here to make us the difference between kshetram and kshetrajna, right? So he says you can go and see a dead body, for example, and you sit down next to the dead body and look at the dead body, and you can see that if you get an opportunity to see in life dead bodies, and you start look at the dead body yourself and see what you have understood about the body and the kshetrajna inside, right? So look at the body and think, who was inside that body with whom you were interacting all your life for many years or so. Suddenly, that person has gone from the body. Body is lying there and you have no connection with the body anymore. Right? And you can try and go and try and open the eye of the dead body. Right? And nothing will happen. It's just like an empty house. Nothing sees through the eye, right? Because the person is not there. And the person who was inside that body, who were looking at us through that eye, has gone. So that eye, if you try to open it and look at the eye, there's nothing there, right? And you start asking the question, who was talking to you or looking at you through those eyes till yesterday? And who were listening to you through those ears, what you were telling them before? Who reacted to everything when you were talking to that dead person, right? and you put some rice into the mouth of that dead body, nothing happens. It's a hole only, isn't it? So, will he eat that? No, he won't eat that. That's over. The person has gone. So, this is how one has to discriminate between the body and the soul. There is a story in the Upanishads, Brihadaranya Upanishads, talks about Viryochana and Indra goes to see Lord Brahma. At that time, Viryochana is an asura, so difficult for him to understand. Very much identifies with the body, does not understand anything more than the body, right? That is why some people, no matter how much you explain to them with all logic and reasoning, still they find it difficult to understand the soul. So thick they have become inside. So thick that difficult to understand the existence of the soul. Right? So they goes to see Indra. So Indra understood the situation. Virajana has come there. Indra has also they gone to see the Prajapati. And Prajapati understood that Virajana is an asura. Indra has also come. Both of them wants to know what the soul is. Right? So Prajapati told them that you go dress up nicely, go and look somewhere near a lake and look into the water and see your form in there. And that is the self, he says. That is the self. They wanted to know who the self is. So that's the self, he said. So they both went back. When they looked at it, Virochana saw that he looks very beautiful and he accepted that. That form what he has seen in the mirror, his form, or in the water, his form, that's him. That's the self. That's how Virochana took it, right? So, rishis will create situations like this for others, right? And rishi's process is always, as much as possible, to confuse you. Confuse you, right? The idea behind that, if you get confused, then you will only then you will start thinking about it. And if you feel the pain of confusion, then you will look for a solution for that, right? So, whereas if everything is fed through the mouth, right, and you will simply take it like that, won't give any value for that, right? So, if you are confused, and if you get difficulties in understanding the soul, right, at that time, if things are spoken, it may have some impact. Because this concept of the soul, many people find it very hard to understand it. Right? They find it very hard to understand it, right? So, it is because of this difficulty that people get attached to some form in the temples. Vishnu's form or Shiva's form or Devi's form or whatever it is. Because finding it difficult to understand that Antaryami inside, presence of the soul inside. Because it looks very abstract, isn't it? Even though all arguments and logic is put forward by the Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita, still finding it difficult to understand the existence of the soul, right? So therefore they'll say, okay, you go to the temple, Vishnu is the deity there. So Vishnu is at Antaryami. So you take shelter of the Vishnu there. And then or they may say, if he is Lord Shiva's devotee, they'll point out to him Shivalingam there in the temple. That's Antaryami inside, right? So then they will say to you that these forms are all not real. Actually, the real one is inside you. And when that is spoken, Ahangaram gets confused. Ahangaram finds it difficult, right? Suppose you get attached to deity worship in the temple, Shiva's form or Vishnu's form or any form, And you start thinking you are worshipping God, you are worshipping this and form, and that alone is the real form. All other forms are not real. All kinds of confusion comes from that. Suddenly rishis are saying to us, all that forms are not important. That forms are only an external representation of the one who is inside you, as the Antaryami, right? So, it is at that time the person gets a shock that that form I have worshipped outside, thinking that that's everything. And you had all the other concepts also that is present here now in this form in the temple. And then he has so many other forms as well. And he has his own abode somewhere where he lives. It is easier to relate with that. But when the moment you say that, all that forms are nothing but the real one which is inside you as Antaryami, it becomes a little difficult for people, right? So, so rishis have used this approach while explaining about the soul to everybody, others, right? Prajapati says to Indra, Brahma spoke to Indra as well as to Virojana the same thing. And so Indra and Virojana, Indra is the head of the Devadas and Virojana is the head of the Asuras. So they both understood it in two different ways. Indra dresses up nicely and he looked at in the river, his form, and he's seeing the same body what he had in the river, right? Then he was able to think, Indra was able to think, that if this body is the self, then when I feel not happy, when I not feel satisfied in life, when I'm not feeling peaceful, shanti, right? So why is that, why I'm feeling like that, if this is the real self, this body? So he goes back to Prajapati and asks the same question again. Whereas Virojana didn't go back. Virojana was satisfied with the answer, that the body is the self, body is you. That was happy with that, right? So, and he understood that if this body gets good food to eat and a good place to sleep and able to entertain and enjoy food and senses and sleep and decorate the body, then that's all what you have to do. That's how Virojana accepted it in that way, right? And so, as much as possible, you should try to protect the body. This is all Virojana's understanding. So you can see, Asuric nature, if it builds up inside, if Asuric nature builds up inside, our endeavor for protecting the body will increase. We will get so attached to the body, that is due to Asuric nature in us growing inside, that we will get so attached to the body and to protect the body, we will do everything what is possible like Virojana did. Indra, on the other hand, Upanishad is trying to tell us that how important it is that when we get older, you should disconnect from the body as much as possible. Otherwise, this body will drag you down at the end. Body will drag us down in the sense that at the time of death, worrying about this body, we will die. Thinking about this body. Such a situation not to happen, he's saying here. So Indra was more intelligent. Indra goes back and says to Prajapati that if this body is everything, then why am I feeling, if I am the self is this body, then why I feel happiness and distress here, right? And once I die, why do I have to worry about this once the death happens, right? Sometimes you can see in the different communities, in London differently, when people die, they take the dead body, decorate it, and then take it in a procession to the... in some places they do that. Rarely though, but it happens. Most of the people think the dead body is everything. Decorating the dead body, and taking the dead body to the cemetery in procession and thinking that that is the self. That is the self, right? So, whereas all what the dead body wants is a pit where it can go down and to be covered with the earth, right? So, it is at that time intelligent person says that someone who was inside that body, who was talking to us so many years, whenever you lived with them, who interacted with you, who spoke to you, who saw you, who heard you, who tasted the food, and who touched you, all this happened through that body, right? But with whom you had a conversation, with whom you had a relationship, right? And the person inside who was dreaming things, who felt hungry, and who had desires, all that thing, where has it gone? Where has that gone, right? And that vastu is not there in that body anymore, right? So, what remains now, after that person has left, that's called a kshetram. That's called kshetram. And the one who was inside that body, all these years, who was using that body to do all the other different things, he's called a kshetrajna. So, this clarity is required to study this chapter. Kshetram and kshetrajnam, right? So, when that person was inside with the body, he was called Rama, Krishna, Govinda, Madhava, Gopala, whatever it was, right? Or Sita or Radha, whatever name, when the person was inside him. Once he has left that body, there is no Sita, Radha, Krishna, Govinda, Gopala, all gone with that, right? And earlier, when person was inside, you called him by the name, he answered, right? After the death, no answer comes from inside. So that means the connection with the body is totally broken, right? So you remember this, that in several lifetimes before this, we had several names like this. In this name, life, one name our parents have given. In the last life, the parents in the last life has given us our name. So similarly, we have forgotten all those names, is it not? Our names in the previous life, that's all gone now. We have no idea what they are. In this life, this name what we have got, we are carrying it till the death. Right? So, so this kshetram, this body, and the kshetrajna who is inside, and he is present inside, and his identity is that awareness, bodham, jnapti, pratyabhijna. That's what he is called. And who is that? He, that kshetrajnan, right? Who is that? He is the one who has to leave the body. Who has to leave the body? He is the one who leaves the body and he has to leave the body. And it is only because of him that body has some relevance. Otherwise, it is just a bag of earth, water, air, ether, fire. That's all. Mixed up in a particular proportion, right? So, after saying that, who was present inside? That kshetrajna was present inside. Who is that? That is the next verse. Krishna is answering that. Who that person is? Talchetram yachaya dritcha, yadvigari yatashchayat, sajayo yad prabhavascha, tat samasename shrunu. Tat samasename shrunu. Now, this second verse, which is we have seen now, क्षेत्रज्ञं चाभिमां विद्धि सर्वक्षेत्रेषु भारत क्षेत्रक्षेत्रज्ञयोर्ज्ञानं यत्तज्ञानं मतं मम. दिस् वर्ड् देर् इस् अ कमेण्ट्री आन् देट् समथिङ्ग् लैक् 25 पेजेस् आन् दिस् वन् वर्ड्स्. रीसन् बीङ्ग् दिस् इस् आचार्य स्वामीजी सिस्टम् वाट् he puts questions and then he answers them, what they call as Purvabhaksham and Siddhantam. So he has raised a number of Purvabhaksham on this to make us aware of this Kshetrajna's position. Right? He says here, Parameshwaram. The problem is that in his time when he wrote commentary, there were learned people in the society, highly learned scholars. So naturally, his commentary is also is like that, very concise and very succinct. Only essential words were used, and that word will carry all the message what is necessary through it. That is why if you translate this commentary in today's world, it won't make any sense to anybody. They'll find it difficult to relate with it. We need extensive commentary, starting from what senses are. That society didn't need all this education, what we need today. This is why looking for translation is not the answer. Because those books were written, and where it is important, they will go into such deep levels of discussions about it. And we won't be able to relate with that. If you read these 25 pages, what he has used to talk about Kshetrajnam, right? He uses very slick way, Parameshwaram, Asamsarinam. This is all Kshetrajna, he says there, right? Brahmadi stamba paryantam anega kshetra upadhi vibhavatam nirastha sarva upadhi bhedam sadasadari shabda pratyaya gocharam vidhi idi abhiprayaha, right? Then, from Brahma onwards, right up to the grass, he says, Upadhis are different, but he is in them, all of them. And he is beyond all this. Upadhi is not important. And neither this Suvilam, Sushpam, Shabdham, Jnanam cannot perceive that presence of the Antaryami inside. In this way, he goes on about it, right? Then he says there a few things that they now the thing is that without knowing Kshetrajnya means that this Antaryami inside, there is nothing else to be known in this world except this Kshetrajnya, and that knowledge, what leads you to that of becoming conscious of that Kshetrajnam is Samyak Jnanam. It mentions here, Samyak Jnanam iti matam abhiprayam. Then he said that, if you come ask the question that, if he is inside as Ishvara, everyone, and he, nothing else is conscious of anything what's happening, does that mean that he is involved in the samsaram, material existence, right? Is that not what it comes to? Then he says, that is not acceptable, because bandham, moksham, these two things is not applicable to him. He does not have bandham or he does not have moksham. So you see this, what he is saying here is, that this is not to be studied like the way we study other subjects in the world. Who? The soul. Soul is not to be studied like the way we study other subjects in the world. Other subjects we study through mind and intelligence. And we gather information from all sides to understand what the topic we want to study, right? From various angles, like in the science and history and all that things. This one thing, he's saying, is not to be, that is not the approach to know him. Here, what we require is experience of him. The moment you get his experience, then you don't have to know anything about him more further. And he is already available to you inside as Antaryami. So therefore, any amount of information you collect about him from outside is not much of a relevance. That's the point he is making here. So spiritual knowledge or spiritual realization means it is not something that you get through mind and intelligence. Instead, it is something that you have to realize inside. It is through realization you get to know the Antaryami. Not through studying the books, not through debates or not through any other processes. Yeah. So, in order to get that point across to us, Acharya Swamiji is bringing several arguments about the soul and trying to make us aware this jnanam is different from the other jnanam which we collect through mind and the intelligence. Right? So, then he mentions there that vidya avidya is based on that and they are opposing each other. Vidya leads to shreyas, whereas avidya leads to prayas. One is for moksham, other one is for bhogam, sense gratification. Right? So, Vedavyasa Maharshi, in Mahabharatam Shanti Parvam, he talks about these two paths and he gave the two different processes, Nivritti Margam and Pravritti Margam. And the same thing he speaking here. Avidyaja karyena saha vidyaya hadavyam idi shruti smriti nyayebhya avagamyate. Ajnanam or avidya has to be destroyed by jnanam. And one who does not know this, then he is not going to make any progress in this path. Right? So all those things he is saying. And then about Ajnani, there is so many suktams he has quoted here. Avidyayam andare vartamanam, Kathopanishad he has quoted. Brahma Veda Brahmaiva Bhagadi, Mundaka Upanishad. Anyosau Anya Aham Asmi, Idi Nasa Veda Yadha Pashurevam Sadevanam, Bhradaranyam. Dukkha Syandho Bhavishyadi Atma Vidya, Bhradaranyam. Yadha Charmavala Agasham, Shvedashadra Upanishad. In this way, thousands of statements from the Upanishads he has quoted to make us understand that the nature of the Atma is knowledge. Nature of Atma is knowledge. Knowledge means not the kind of knowledge what we normally acquire in the world, but in the form of Anubhava, Antaryami. So, he explains the difference between the mundane way of knowledge and spiritual knowledge. That difference, right? Mundane knowledge is what we go through the senses, acquire information, evaluate them, then scrutinize them and understand it through mind and intelligence and keep it in our memory and we use it for our whatever purpose we need. That's a totally different method compared to spiritual realization. Spiritual realization is that the knowledge is inside us, already there, it's already there. Just removing the avidya from inside. Avidya is the coverage, what is not allowing us to access the knowledge inside. So, that avidya, if it leaves us, then the knowledge is there. Nothing is required then to be done. You don't have to study millions of books and do millions of sadhana. It's just to get rid of that avidya. And that avidya removal is spiritual life. Removing the avidya from inside is the spiritual life. Right? So, that's what he is explaining again and again and again. That do not go through the same process like you study other books to acquire knowledge in this world and trying to understand the soul with your mind and intelligence. That is not the process. Right? So, then he mentions there that and in order to make us understand that, he is trying to tell us that the nature of the soul, for example, sukham dukham, happiness, distress. One who has got mind, he will feel happiness and distress. Atma doesn't have a mind of its own, so Atma doesn't feel happiness or distress. These are the ways you can explain Atma. Our normally you feel happiness and distress in this world. Why do we feel that? Because of the presence of the mind in us, right? Mind creates that problem. It is the mind that is experiencing happiness and distress, not the antaryami inside. So he says here, sukha, dukham, moham. Moham means illusion. It's all for the mind and the ahankaram, not for the antaryami, right? Atmano na yuktaha avidyakradatval visheshal jara mrityuvat. Similarly, birth, death and old age and disease and all that is not for the antaryami, it's only for the body. So at every step, he is trying to establish this one point, that the antaryami, which is our real self, is full of knowledge, and that is our identity, and not this body, which is subjected to old age, disease, death, which is subjected to all other problems of, which you have to, which you study through books and the other processes, right? So, then he mentions there that happiness, distress, similarly, illusion, desire, it has nothing to do with the Atma, right? Similarly, Jara, Mrityu, also does not happen to Atma. And he says that old age also, he says there, na bhavandi iti asti anumanam avidya avidyad aropitatval jara maranadivad iti heyatvad upayayatvad cha ityadi. Due to our avidya only, we are saying, I have become old. This is my avidya speaking, that I have become old, right? So that is a superimposition on me, which is actually happening to the body, right? And this old age and death is not something that you can accept and reject it according to your liking. It's not in your control, isn't it? It happens to the body, right? And similarly, I am experiencing something, I am doing the karma. All these things are happening because of the connection with the material existence, samsaram, right? And we again impose all those things on me, the self, which is again the avidya inside. Antaryami is present in everyone, but still the samsaram does not have any effect on him. Practically, to say to us that Lord, how this avidya is in us in different ways. When we say, I'm getting old, that's my avidya. When I'm getting sick, that's my avidya. Anger, hate, all kinds of emotions, thoughts, all this is avidya only. Nothing to do with the antaryami inside. Then, after saying all these things, right, this avidya's nature is tamogunam, tamasa subhav. And what it does is, it creates doubt inside and keeps you away from the truth. And when knowledge comes in, this avidya goes away, and avidya, he explains that, eye, when it gets cataract, your vision is affected. In the same way, Kshetrajna inside, he is always blissful, he is not affected. But this avidya in front of him, in the form of a veil, when that is present, you are not able to see him properly, experience him properly, right? So, again, the same thing. When you are treated for the cataract, how you get back your vision back, in the same way, when this veil of ignorance is removed from inside, then Antaryami's presence is experienced, right? So, like that it goes. So, here, coming back to this, right? Here, he said, in that third verse, తల్క్షేత్రం యచ్ఛయాదృక్ష యద్వికారి యతశ్చయత్ సచయో యత్ ప్రభావశ్చ తత్ సమాసేనమే శృణు సమాసేనమే శృణు. సో మాం సర్వేశ్వర ప్రెసెంట్ ఇన్సైడ్ ఎవ్రీవన్ యాజ్ ఈశ్వర పరమేశ్వరం విద్ధి ప్రెసెంట్ ఇన్సైడ్ ఎవ్రీవన్ ఇన్ ద క్షేత్రం and allowing this kshetram to work, you have to always separate the body and the andaryami. Andaryami inside is present, so body is functioning. Body is functioning, right? And then chaitanyam, what is present inside as kshetrajna, by whose presence the body is able to carry out all the different activities, he is called as Bhagavan. He is called as Bhagavan, right? Not the jivas. So jivalma is different, right? That andaryami inside, who is not affected by it, that chaitanyam, he is called Bhagavan. But one who is identifying with all the changes in the body, one who identifies with the mind, and identifies with all the thoughts and the emotions inside, he is called the Jivatma. That means Ahangaram. Ahangaram is Jivatma. And then Jivatma is the same Chaitanyam Andaryami. When he comes to this Upadhi, like the mind, intelligence, senses everywhere, he identifies with it. And then all the problems begin with that. So, So, who is Jivatma then? It is the same Paramatma which has entered into all the Upadhis and identifies with it and then accepts the happiness or distress that comes from that. Right? So, Krishna is saying, Mam, Paramesh, Sarveshwaram, I am that. Right? So, he is not that, also known as Paramatma or Ishwara. So, the same thing, if you want more clarity on that, Kapilopadesham, he says, Ishvaro Jiva Kalaya Pravishto Bhagavan Iti. You will see a statement in the Kapila Maharshi's teachings to Devahuti. Ishvara himself comes as Jiva Kala. Jiva is nothing but Ishvara, but it is a Kala. Kala means one who is identifying with all these things. Right? Ishvaro Jiva Kalaya Pravishto Bhagavan Iti. So, in the Kapila Maharshi teachings to Devahuti, he says that one who is present in everyone as Jiva Kala, Ishvara is present, and that Kshetrajna get to know him, he is a Kshetrajna, that Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata. If you see it like that Kshetrajna, then he is the same one. When you see every person in everyone, you should see it like this. Body is a kshetram, andaryami is a kshetrajna inside. If you have learned that art of seeing that every body as a kshetram and the andaryami inside as a kshetrajna, then it becomes Vasudeva, bhakti. It becomes bhakti. And that's what Krishna is saying. Vasudeva sarvamidhi samahatma sudurlabha. Yeah. So, Vasudeva sarvam means everyone who is present in front of me with a body, all that bodies are kshetram, and that form that is only not his real identity, but inside him, what is present as the andaryami inside, that is his real identity. You will see that in the third canto. Kapila Maharshi gets very heavy on that when he said that. Probably he felt that he had to put it that way strongly to Devahuti. Right? So what did she say to him? She said that
Mm.
If you look at the 29th chapter, 329, verse 21. Aham sarveshu bhudeshu bhudatma avasthidasada tam avajnaya mam martya kurude archa vidambanam, he says. Aham sarveshu bhudeshu bhudatma avasthidasada tam avajnaya mam martya kurude archa vidambanam. Then he says, Yomam sarveshu bhudeshu sandam almanam ishwaram hitu archam bhajade maudhyal basmanyeva juhotisa. Two heavy verses there. Then dvishada paragayemam manino bhinna darshinaha bhudeshu baddha vairasya na mana shanti mruchati. Yeah. And he goes on and on about it, right? So everybody, Kamala Maharshi is saying there that know everyone's body as a temple. Accept everyone's body as a temple. And one who is inside is a kshetrajna. In that way, you should know the others. You should know others, right? Kshetrajna is Krishna, Bhagavan, Paramatma. And not knowing that on a, not as a objective way, but in a subjective way, right? You have to know that in a, not in an objective way, but in a subjective way. What does that mean? It means, when you are studying something, you are saying from an objective way, is it not? But when you start realizing that's what you are, then it is subjective. You get the point? Subjective understanding is important. This objective way of studying is all other things in this world. Spiritual life is knowing subjectively. Subject means that you are that. You're not different than that. That subjective way of knowing that, right? And I realize that in me, I have to know it, that kshetrajnam, right? Within me, how Krishna is present. And that awareness, bodham, that's me. In the same way, that chaitanyam is Paramatma. And in the same way, when I see others also, it is that me who is present in them as the Antaryami in them as well. This Antaryami inside me is the same Antaryami present in others also as the Antaryami. That's a subjective way of knowing. That's not objective. Objective way of knowing is, somebody is there is a soul in him separately from him. Separately from me and separately from the Antaryami. Knowing him independently each everybody. That is objective way of knowing. But subjective way of knowing is that, so that is more important. In me, that's me. That is subjective way of knowing. That's me, that Antaryami inside. That's real me. And that experience inside. Similarly, Antaryami is present in others also. That's me. It's the same me who is present in others in that way. So, that Paramatma Vastu. Paramatma, that is Paramatma, right? That Chaitanyam, right? At the moment, I am not experiencing it that way, right? And how am I experiencing at the moment? That's going to be spoken now, right? If you are able to take the Kshetram away and only study the Kshetrajna, only think about the Kshetrajna, then you will realize that, but once you join the Kshetram with the Kshetrajna, then it becomes Jivatma. If you join the Kshetram with the Kshetrajna, then it becomes Jivatma, right? So, in order to come to that self-realization state, Isha Jiva Yoho, you got to break away from the body, the mind, ahangaram. You are able to remove them all. And if you are able to see that kshetrajna separately from that, then you will be able to experience him. The whole world is nothing but kshetram, right? Because it is through this body, why it is called world is also kshetram. Why is that? Because it is through this body I get to know the world, isn't it? My connection with the world is through the body, the senses, the mind, everything, the whole package I'm saying about it. And so both this world as well as this body is experienced only because of the bodham that is present in the Antaryami. Because in Antaryami that bodham, awareness is there, due to that I am experiencing this body, means this gross body, subtle body, everything, and as well as the world outside, right? And it is that light, ray of light that comes from the Antaryami, Chaitanyam. Due to that, we are experiencing this world. Just like the deity in the temple is there. It is because of the deity that the temple becomes relevant. You go to the temple to see the deity. It's not. So the deity's presence is so important that deity gives the life to the rest of the temple. Whether it is a car park or the haveli or whatever it is, it's all because of Gokulananda in that deity form there. If you take Gokulananda away from there, the rest of the things is just like any other tourist spot. It's not. It becomes a temple because of Gokulananda's presence. Similarly with any temple for that matter. So in the same way, this temple is this form what we have got, all the other external, the gross body, subtle body, causal body and all these things. But inside that the Antaryami, who is the real important object inside, vastu inside, right? And so this is the temple, and the murti or the deity is the Antaryami inside. And that is the Kshetrajnam, and that Kshetrajna is our identity, right? So this separating Kshetram and Kshetrajnam, separating them, and realizing that, that knowledge is what he is saying here. Sajoyat tal kshetram yachayadriksha yad vikari yatashayat najayav yad prabhavasya tal samasenam eshrunu. Able to separate like that. That means sajoyat prabhavasya sat samasenam eshrunu. In the Krishna's opinion, that able to separate the Kshetram and Kshetrajna and to find Kshetrajna finally from that. And that is knowledge. That is knowledge. Jnanam. And says Acharya Swamiji also. Able to separate it like that between the Kshetram and Kshetrajna. So we'll have a short break now. Continue after that.
चेतो दर्पणमार्जनं भौमः दावाग्निनिर्वापणं श्रेयःकैतवचन्द्रिया विदरणं विद्यावधू जीवनम् आनन्दाम्बुदिवर्धनं प्रतिपद पूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मस्वपनं वरं विजयते श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनं नाम्नामकारि बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिता निमिदा स्मरणेन काला एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममापि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहाजनिनानुरागाः तृणारभीषुनि चैन तरोरभि सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि न धनं न जनं न सुन्दरीं कविदां वा जगदीशकामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनि ईश्वरे भवदाद्भक्तिरहैतुकि त्वयि अयि नन्दतनुज किङ्करां पतितां मां क्षमे भवां बुधौ कृपया तव पादपङ्गजस्थितधूलिसदृशं विचिन्तय नयनं गलदशुधारया वदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरपुलकैर्निचितं गदा वपूतवं नामग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायुधं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायुधं शून्यायुधं जगत् सर्वं गोविन्दव्रहे नमे आश्लिष्य वा पादरदां विनष्टु माम् अदर्शन मर्महदां करोतु वा यदा तदा वा विदधादुलम्बडो प्राणनाथास्तु न एव नापरम् सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम संकीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द तल्क्षेत्रम् यचया दृक्ष यद्युगारि यदश्चयल् सजयो यल् प्रभावश्याम् तल्समासेन मे शृणु. So, knowing Kshetram and Kshetrajna, And from that, realizing Kshetrajna, what is that? And different names are given, Panditiyam or Jnanam, these things, right? Panditiyam nama Kshetrajna Jnanam. So, normally Panditiyam means, generally in the world we will think that Panditiyam means what? Knowledge of the books or knowledge of the Shastram, things like that. Right? Actually, it's not. The actual way to understand Panditiyam is, one who realizes self, he has got Panditiyam. He is Pandita. Right? Similarly, that means one who understands Kshetrajna, he is Pandita. He is Pandita. So, idam, while being present in this body, while being present in this body, able to realize the presence of Antaryami inside, that Chaitanyam, Akhanda Chaitanyam, Sachidanandam, Anandam, that Antaryami Vastu, whom we call as Krishna or Shiva or Vishnu, or you can call in other names, whatever others call them, right? Knowing him, that knowing that vastu inside, while we are inside Jivatma's state inside, one has to know. Mind means when the body is life, when we are living in this body, at that time itself you have to get to know the Kshetrajna. As Jiva, now we are present inside in this body. Before we leave this body, we have to know the Kshetrajna. Right? So, in that case, while living in the body itself, he gets liberated. Like Krishna is saying that in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam also, isn't it? Dehastobi na dehasta. Vidwan Supna Yadotida Adehastobi Dehasta Kumadi Supnadra Gyatha. Famous words, Ekadasham. Yeah. So while Dehastobi na Dehasta. You are in the Deham, but you are not in the Deham. Dehastobi na Dehasta. That's the realization to come. Vidwan Supna Yadotidaha. That just like a scholarly person, a learned person, when he wakes up from the Swapnam, how he realizes it was false. In the same way, while remaining within this body, you have to know that this is false. And Adehastobi Dehasta, whereas the other person, even if he leaves the body, he will come back to this body because of his connection with the body. The connection has not broken. It's breaking that connection is more important. That is why everything that is detrimental for breaking that connection, one has to notice that and follow that path. If attachment to the body is increasing by our actions while living in this world, if you keep on getting more and more attached to the body, that means spiritual life is suffering because of that. You won't make much progress. You can't do these two things side by side. One side, attachment to the body and want to protect the body, maintain the body every time. On the other side, you want to advance the knowledge of the self and self-realization. So that is why Krishna is saying these things so strongly, words he has used here, to make us conscious of this fact that freedom from the body, freedom from the mind, freedom from the senses, this is essential for knowing Kshetrajna inside. Whereas if you all the time get attracted to the body, mind, senses, and then want to understand Kshetrajna, it's not possible. So, and Viveka Chudamani also mentions that, in a verse there, that he says that, Jivan Netra Sada Mukta Kridartho Brahma Vittama Ubhadi Asha Drashyeva San Brahma Pedi Nirdayam. He says that the perfect knower of Antaryami inside is merged in one with him, and he had an all along becomes very free even while living and attains the goal of his life, even while in this body. That's why Jivan Mukta stage is like that. Jivanmukta stage. This whole thing comes again, in Krishna talks about that in the fourth chapter also, when he started talking about the karma sannyasam, when he's saying the same thing in much more depth, he talked about that, right? So, if this didn't happen, he says, there will be fear of death. Fear of death will be there. And there is a reason for being fearful about death, he says. Lot of distress will be, because we have been trying to fix this body throughout life, is it not? We have been trying to fix this body throughout life, and it's not working. Everybody, it's the same thing. So the ideal thing, Krishna is saying, that this body which is a kshetram, get rid of that from inside, and start seeing the kshetrajna inside, instead of the kshetram. So, kshetrajna, if you see there, if you become strongly attached to kshetrajna there, then kshetram will gradually disappear from inside us. Will disappear, right? Kshetram is not real. Kshetram means the body is not real. And kshetram includes the body as well as this world. Also is not real, right? What is real then is kshetrajna. Because of kshetrajna only, the kshetram exists. Because of kshetrajna only, the world exists. So, that prakasham or light that comes from that kshetrajna is Ishvara. And so in this chapter, in this 13th chapter, what Krishna is doing here is that he is showing us Ishvara, Bhagavan, in this kshetra kshetrajna vibhaga yogam. It's called, if you remove the kshetram from us, what remains is kshetrajna, and that kshetrajna will manifest in his own way, and that manifestation of the kshetrajna on his own is called yogam. That's called yogam, right? Yogam means that state when your ahankaram has disappeared. When the ahankaram doesn't wake up anymore, simply only the antaryami presence, that exclusive state is called yoga state, right? So, that means there is no personality there anymore. When personality is there, ahankaram comes in. Ahankaram is a personality, right? So, that state where there is no ahankaram, that's called yogam, right? And and in that state, antaryami or kshetrajna, he is not affected by the namam, rupam, doesn't has any effect on him. No chittavrittis, thought waves affects him. No emotions, vigarams, doesn't affect him. And that surubasthiti, existence in that state, is called yoga. It's called yoga. And that is why Patanjali also says, yogaha chittavritti nirodhaha. Chittavritti nirodham is yoga, right? And Patanjali says afterwards, this all closely connected each other. Jnanamargam, Yogamargam, they're all very closely connected, right? Then he says that that Chittavritti Nirodha Rupam, that kind of Upasana, Yoga Upasana, it's a Yoga Upasana. So Upasana, if it becomes perfect, then he says, Drashtu Surubam, Drashtuhu Surupam Surupeha Avasthanam. That means you will become the Drashtava, the seer. You become the Drashtava. At the moment we have become identified with the Drishyam. And we are in that state. We are in the Drishyam level, stage of consciousness. It becomes the come to the stage of Drashtava. And that is Yogam. Means we in our original state to be situated, right? The thought waves, you can't control them. You can't stop them, block them completely, right? Can you stop the thinking business and live in this world? It's very difficult, it's not. The thoughts will keep coming, one after the other, right? So, all you can do is that even though the thought waves are there, able to think differently, that these thought waves are not me. At the moment what happens? The thoughts are coming. we identify with that straight away, because and we become the thought waves, right? So, and all of them are drishyam. Thought waves are drishyam as well, right? So, even if I am awake, right, or if I am thinking about something, or if I am doing something, or if I am sleeping, whatever I may do, I should not lose that identification with the Kshetrajna. I have to remain in that state. Even all the other things are going on, simultaneously able to stay in that state of self-realization, right? So, yogam is not only when you are performing meditation, or when you are chanting the holy name, or when you are going to the temple, or when you are doing some shastram study or salsangam. No. Yoga means that it has to stay in that state all the time. Free from the body, freedom from the mind, freedom from the senses, freedom from thoughts, and able to stay in the state of that consciousness of the self, right? So, once that happens, right, if you come and established in that, that's called Nitya Yoga, permanently there, then even when you wake up, or when you're sleeping, or when you're performing any business in this world, Vyavaharam, and even in that situation, you won't lose that state of yoga, yoga state, right? And that's always present, and that is normally referred to as the samadhi state. So, So, that samadhi, nirvikalpa samadhi, it's called, there's no vikalpam there. And there are two kinds. One, when they talk about that, sahaja nirvikalpam. And then, second one, nirvikalpam, that comes due to chittavritti nirodham. Right? So, the chittavritti nirodham, sahaja nirvikalpam is the one which becomes a natural thing for us. We become naturally that way situated, right? Whereas the chittavritti nirodham, if you come to nirvikalpam stage through that, it will definitely become disturbed sometime or the other, right? So, because even when chittavritti, you know what chittavritti means? Thought waves, right? When the thought waves are going on, it is still there. So, even thought waves are going on at that time, behind that, the real self is there. And that is, that surupam of the Atma, it's called a nirvikalpam. Nirvikalpam. So, and knowing that, and realizing that, is a samadhi state, right? And that is meditation. So, you can see this two kinds of meditation they talk about, right? Meditation is nothing but thought. Where does the thought comes in the mind? So the mind has to be quietened. And there is a person who is behind that, who is performing the meditation. And so the person who is doing the meditation, what happens to him is, he becomes free from the grip of the mind and the body, and is able to see that reality behind the mind. One from whom the mind is operating. Mind is also a power that is functioning inside us due to the presence of Antaryami, right? And he is not doing anything about the thought waves, chittavritti, right? What happens to him is that he realizes that these chittavrittis are also not real. You can see that. We take this chittavritti very seriously because chittavritti comes, the mind gets absorbed and then whole absorption that. But imagine when you go to deep sleep, where is the chittavritti? That's how much real they are. Only to that extent. Yeah. So getting to know that bodham, that means going beyond the mind and the intelligence and getting to understand that reality behind everything, right? And that is what Shukha Brahmarshi told to Parikshit, if you look. Evam samikshan altmanam altmanyadhaya nishkale, he said. You remember? That aham brahma param dhamma brahmaham paramam padam. Evam samikshan. He says, you see that. beyond the mind, beyond the intelligence, evam samikshan. Samikshan means get to connect with that. And that's what Parikshit was told, right? So, and he said that, do it straight away, he said. And when Parikshit, Shloka Brahmarshi spoke to Parikshit, Parikshit immediately experienced that within. So, you can see that you didn't have to study much Shastram or anything. It is just a question of getting the right person who has that realized that stage, and the receiver, one who is receiving it, has to be matured, pakko. He should be ready for receiving it. So Parikshit was ready for receiving it. Shloka Brahmarshi was the realized soul who could give it to him. When they came together, it happened instantaneously. There is no further studying, inquiry, research and all that. Nothing. Immediately on the spot it happened. Siddhosmi. Straight away he says, Siddhosmi. Anugrahidosmi. He says, I got it. That is how spiritual knowledge is transmitted. Spiritual knowledge is not doing a lot of degrees and courses and seminars and all that, and then one day it will happen. No. If it has to happen, it has to happen on the spot, straight away. Otherwise, the reason it's not happening is due to two things. One, the receiver is not ready for it, because all the qualifications are not there. Nityanity vastu vivekam, vairagyam has not come, attachment to many things, desires inside, then all the impurities of the heart, all these things have to leave. Till then, the receiver is not ready. And then if he hears from a person who is situated in the platform of the self-realized state, the result is immediate. Then there is no more further waiting required. Right? So all those things is spoken here. Right? So, and that is called Nitya Yogam, permanently. Right? And what you have experienced then you won't lose it again, once you have got it. Whereas if you learn anything through thoughts and studies and books and intelligence and all that, it won't stay. It will go. Because buddhi itself won't stay. And similarly, if you have done some work in this world and got something, that will also go. So what you get through karmam, it will go. What you get through your mind and intelligence, it will leave. Whereas the one, when you realize directly something by the antaryami inside, has cleared up all the obstacles inside, avidya is taken out, straight away this realization gets back and that stays. So, so through actions, whatever you get, succeed in life, it's not permanent. Through thoughts, whatever you get, acquire in life, it's not permanent. And similarly, layam, when you dissolve something, that also goes away. None of them is complete, proper samadhi, right? So, whatever you do, kriya, activities are all through the body, and all the thoughts are through the mind, and similarly, dhyana, meditation, samadhi, all these things will come and go. But the knowledge of the soul, what is dependent on the, which is the very nature of Atma, that is Atma's identity, knowledge, is it not? And that jnanam, which comes, which manifests within us in the form, what is called pratyabhijna, when that happens, it will not leave us again. After that, it won't leave us. Therefore, it is called a nitya yogam. Yeah? So, this can happen to anyone, anytime. But generally, the requirement is that the person who is qualified for that, means sufficient purity has happened inside, it can happen for him anywhere. When he gets into association with a great soul, of a realized soul, right? So, so, and a lot of things are contributing to that due to his pious activities in previous lifetimes. And all his sinful reactions have been wiped out. Vasana kshayam has happened. If all this has happened, then it only requires, it can happen instantaneously. Then it doesn't require any more time after that. Yeah. And, but one has to be fortunate for that, right? And that is, that, coming to that state, is Krishna's prasadam, right? So, due to that prasadam, right? By some reason or the other, if that prasadam comes, Krishna's prasadam, and then naturally Shraddha comes, this is all after effect of that prasadam. Shraddha will be there in a person. Shraddha in Salsangam. And similarly, able to withdraw from the upadis, like the body, the mind, the senses. They are all upadis, right? And gradually that pratyabhijna comes inside. Awareness suddenly wakes up inside. And it becomes natural for him. And that, getting that identity back in that way is called kshetrajna jnana. Knowledge of the kshetrajna, right? And once we have got that kshetrajna jnanam, then if after that, even if he goes through kshetram, if he has got kshetram, right, and if he does vyavaharam, he will not be deflected from the kshetrajna. Once you have realized that kshetrajna's identity, right? So and those who have realized kshetrajna and who have become free from the body that way, when they conduct bhakti, that is called parabhakti. And Krishna said that at the end, isn't it? Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochadi na kankshadi sama sarveshu bhudeshu. That means he has come, Brahmam realization has happened to him. Brahma bhudam he has become. Like jiva bhudam, Brahma bhudam. When you become a jiva consciousness, you become jiva bhudam. When you become Brahma consciousness, aham brahmasmi, you become Brahma bhudam. So that's Brahma bhudam and jiva bhudam. If you become Brahma bhudam, Brahma bhuda prasannatma, what does that mean? Na shojadi. First of all, prasannatma. Always in that anandam stage. Na shojadi, na kankshadi. No hankering, no lamentation. Samasarveshu bhudeshu. Able to see Krishna's andaryami's presence in everything. In such a state, what he experienced then is parabhakti. And that is the bhakti discussed in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, not the sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is for the apprentice stage. In order to start something in spiritual life, you start with sadhana bhakti, right? So, and then he said, same thing, bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yashasmi tattvada tatomam tattvado jnatva vishadetad anandaram. He says in the 11th chapter, right? So, what Krishna is saying, that with that bhakti, parabhakti, and the bhakti what was spoken in the universal form chapter, Krishna is saying, vishadetad anandaram, then you will know what Krishna is. You enter into Krishna, it says, tadomam tattodo jnatva vishade tadanandaram. After that, you enter. Enter means that you become one with that. Andaryami, that means you get to realize what Krishna is, Andaryami is, right? So, in this way, that bhakti what he has spoken there, Krishna is going to say about that in this chapter. That means that from the body, you have to move towards that andaryami, that bodham. And that yatra, this journey, from the body towards that andaryami inside, that yatra, that is salsangam. So, there is one special thing about this yatra. What is that? normal yatra means you cover a distance, isn't it? Journey means you cover a certain distance. A journey means, right? Here, there is no distance. You are swallowing the distance. You realize that there is no distance. That's what happens here. When we, in this yatra, you are not traveling a distance actually. Jivatma is there, jivatma, jiva bhavam goes, andaryami bhavam comes. So that means you are swallowing the jiva bhavam and andaryami bhavam manifests in us, right? So that means there is no space between Jivatma and Paramatma, Andaryami, right? So, and therefore, because there is no space, is already there, Antaryami is already there, and Siddham, we have already got it. You don't have to get this misunderstanding that Krishna is sitting somewhere far away from here. I have to go and meet him there after leaving this body. This is all not Bhagavad Gita's message. Bhagavad Gita is saying that it is already upalabdham. Bhagavatam also says the same thing. You already got it. It's inside us, right? And he is already, Bhagavan Krishna, is already upalabdham. That means you got it already within us, right? So, this knowledge is based on Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, and Srimad Bhagavatam, right? But what happens is, when this knowledge, over a period of time, people started talking about it, and ultimately it has become like this, that they all have put their own input into it, in their own way, and when this input from different people comes, it comes to Manomaya Mandalam. It comes to the mental platform, right? And it will confuse the knowledge. Knowledge gets confused. Because people start talking about it. And you know how it happens in this world. If you observe carefully, you will see people over a period of time, in the field of spiritual life also, how it all changes all the time, depending on the people who are talking about it, right? And if they, for example, you hear something now, by the time you go home and start thinking about it at home, immediately you will start getting confusion, right? So that's why if you start using the mind and intelligence to understand something, it will all change the knowledge. It will have its effect on the knowledge. So that is the problem. That in big groups and big assemblies, when speakers come and they give a lecture for a few hours, and they'll keep adding to it different things. So this realization that Antaryami is so close by inside us, and Jiva Bhavam is Ahangaram. Once the Ahangaram leaves, the manifestation of the Antaryami inside is self-realized state. That's all it is. But then it becomes a big subject for everybody else, right? So, so when the mind enters into it, then the knowledge, jnanam, will get confused, right? That's where this problem comes, right? So that is why subjecting this knowledge to thoughts too much is not worthwhile. It's not helpful. Suppose you start using your mind and intelligence and start analyzing this whole thing with your mind and intelligence, then you will start seeing new doubts, because problem with the mind is it will always create doubts. That's the duty of the mind. Mind has to create doubts. That's what mind does, isn't it? And when the mind creates doubts, then you want an answer for that. And then you will look for an answer. When the answer comes, then it will create more doubts. So this way, in mental platform, if you bring it down to the mental platform, it becomes a big subject. And then it grows and makes more difficult, right? So that is why in Bhagavatam also it will say like this, that without giving importance to the thoughts, not allowing the thoughts to interfere in that, right? If you are able to recognize between two thoughts its presence, like in the seventh canto, spoken about that. Is it not? Yeah. So, whereas if you start using your thought power, thinking power, and start analyzing all these things, right? And you start looking at different books and reading and thinking about it in this way, it won't help you very much. You will get more confused. A lot of questions will come, a lot of answers, and you may think that, oh, it's a big job, I have to take a long time, things like that. Whereas that is why in the Bhagavatam says that you have to see him in between the, it's in the seventh canto, in the fifth chapter, I think, Sri Narada Maharshi says that. 15th chapter. Supta Prabhodaya Sintha. That verse. He has put it in one verse and then it is left there like that. Supta Prabhodaya Sintha. That's the 13th chapter. In the verse number 5. Supta Prabhodaya Sintha. Atmano Gadi Almadrikke. Pashyan Bandham Cha Mokshan Cha. Maya Matram Na Vastuda. In one verse he said that. That Supta Prabhodaya Sintha. At the junction of from deep sleep to waking up. There is a junction there. At that time, this Antaryami's presence has to be noticed. Supta Prabhodaya Sintha. Sintha. Atmano Gati Almadrikke. And you can see, Pashyan Bandham Cha Mokshan Cha. Maya Matram Na Vastuda. At that time, you realize that this Bandham Moksham is all Maya only. Actually, there is no Bandham, there is no Moksham. But we study Bandham Moksham very seriously, thinking that we are bound. We say we are bound. I am in Maya. I am bound by the world. I am bound by the body. These things. Actually, they are not real. Pashyan Bandham Cha Mokshan Cha. Similarly, Moksham also is not real. Our original state is neither bondage nor liberation. Pashyan Bandham Mokshan Cha Maya Matram Na Vastuda. They are not real. So, this realization and is spoken and is different ways it is to get this understanding in us, right? Just like our mind is working, right? And a lot of thoughts going on all the time. And because these thought waves are continuous, we are unable to get to know the Antaryami's presence inside. Because these thought waves are just like a veil in front of that. It's a curtain or a screen in front of that, right? Sometimes, Antaryami himself from inside will create a gap to come out. When he does that, that's how you get, that's Kripa. That's Krishna's Kripa. If Antaryami from inside, he creates a gap and comes out so that you can experience him, right? So, just like you know that, if you go to Udupi temple, Krishna's temple, where Madhvacharya's temple, where they built that, right? one devotee who could not go inside, he came to see Krishna. He couldn't go inside. So, Krishna knew that the devotee is there. So, what he did was, he opened a small window there, through which he was seeing the devotee, through that. So he gave the darshanam to the deity, to the devotee, through that window. Who was in them days, he could not go inside. That was the rule then. So he stood there outside and Krishna opened the window and through that he saw the devotee. So in that way, right? So similarly, Krishna inside Antaryami also, he can come through the Chitavrti. Chitavrti means the thought waves. And he can make us aware of his presence inside. That can also happen, right? So, so that is called Pratyabhijna, Pratyabhijna Jnanam, right? And that is the knowledge of the self, what is discussed in this chapter through Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yogam. You see the word itself, Kshetram Kshetrajnam Vibhagam Yogam. The title itself is indicating that. So, that is why this chapter is a difficult chapter, but you can see the importance what Krishna has given to Kshetram and Kshetrajnam. Knowing Kshetram, and we have to learn where to leave it. But if I keep on and the problem with all of us is, all of us, we study with our mind and intelligence. And then, at the same time, the attachment to the body has not gone. Attachment to the body has not gone. And similarly, we are controlled by the body. In other words, indirectly, body is controlling us. And the mind. And the senses. And we are finding it difficult to leave it. And due to that, holding all tight with that, and then trying to understand Kshetrajna, that won't work. That will not work. So, what will happen is that, at that moment, our method of studying changes. Actually, we are supposed to experience Kshetrajna. But when you are attached to the body, mind, senses and all that, you will study Kshetrajna like a theoretical subject, like physics and chemistry. You will study it like that. That will not help. That's a waste of time. That is main message in this chapter. Krishna is saying that. That Kshetra Kshetrajna Yor Jnanam Yatal Jnanam Atam Mama, he says. Knowledge of me means that this clear separation between Kshetram and Kshetrajna. Experiencing Kshetrajna, becoming that Kshetrajna's identity and able to look at the Kshetram in that way. Able to see the Kshetram in that way. Not like the way we are seeing now. What we are doing is, we are staying in the Kshetram very strongly and then we are discussing Kshetrajna very seriously. That won't help. That won't help. Krishna says no choice, no hope then. No chance, he says. So, Kshetram has to be left out. Especially, this is a problem as we get older. We all know that, what the problem is. Problem is, old age means thoughts, more thoughts, isn't it? Vriddhasthavil, chinda sakta. Chinda, chinda, continuous chinda. Chinda about what? Body. First chinda will be the body only. And then after, when the body is somewhat not in your thoughts, the other thoughts will come. Family, children, and other extensions, bank balance and money and all other investments and society, politics, businesses, all other sorts of things, right? So, old age is like that. Vriddhasavil chinda sakta, paribhramani kobina sakta. So, it becomes more difficult in the old age to break away from the Kshetram. Kshetram is in complete grip on us. Maharshi says, scorpionic grip, he says. Like the scorpion bites us, in the same way this body is biting us so strongly inside, and it becomes more difficult to break away from that. So, that is why this chapter is a very eye-opener in many ways. And Krishna begins with this knowledge that he is saying there, Sajayo yad prabhavascha tad samasena me shrunu. That hear from me, he says, that from me, he says, that tal kshetram yachaya drikcha tad yad vigari yatashchayad. Right? So, that is what the beginning of this chapter, right? So, this knowledge, the knowledge of the self, it has a parambara of its own, right? You have seen these banana plants, if you plant a banana, by the time it comes out and the bananas comes out, before that, a baby banana plant will come out from the bottom. Along with that, sometimes few banana plants will come out at the bottom if you look at it, right? So, similarly, and in due course of time, the first banana plantation has come, you cut it off, the other ones will start growing, and in due course of time, they will also give bananas, right? So, similarly, it is in the same way that this parambara, what Krishna talks about, evam parambara praptam, that parambara also has come in that way, he says, that somebody, the original plant was there, and from that, just like you light one lamp from another lamp, in the same way, this parambara comes in that pattern, right? And that parambara, you can't organize it. It's not how, this is where the problem is. You see, people who have no understanding of spiritual life, they think that we can organize the parambara also. And then they set up a system like that, that these people are the authorized ones. You take initiation from because they are in the parambara. In this way, we create a system that won't work with this parambara system, right? And if you organize it, it doesn't mean that it will stay in the parambara, that personalities, right? And it will appear somewhere else, the same knowledge, somewhere someone will take advantage of it and he will realize it. So this whole parambara will come through him then, not through the one what you have established. The organization problem is that. Organization cannot establish a parampara. Organization is for management purposes, they have created that. But parampara can happen anywhere with anyone who have practiced spiritual life seriously, who received Krishna's mercy. Through him, it will come somewhere in some form, right? So when it comes through him, you will see there that it is the same satyam what Krishna has spoken, and that's what is manifesting through another source now, right? And there is nothing new in that. Same knowledge working from some another person in some place far away, and the knowledge is coming out through him, right? So this is why I'm saying that when people are thinking that they can use techniques in spiritual life, techniques won't work in spiritual life. Even that basic understanding is not getting into their head. You see how thick the vidya is inside. Technique and all other methods, right? It will not work, right? Shudhanani ashudha kalpana prasangad. What happens is, if you introduce a new technique into spiritual life, right? Some people will come for that, right? So, can you not experience that knowledge, self-realization in that way? And this question Acharya Swami has raised in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita itself, right? He is saying here, why don't you develop a system whereby you can keep that permanently in this world, a system like that, through which you can, others can follow that process and realize the truth? Unfortunately, it won't work. It will not work, right? So, in the parampara system also, right, if you are trying to control it, that's not how it works. Parampara does not work like that, right? Lot of things are dependent on that fact, on the end result. Lot of other things are dependent on that, right? It is something like when somebody says that I have found some new technique of realizing the self. If you say like that, it is like instead of seeing through the eye, I have seen through the ear. If you say like that, right? So, it can happen that if somebody who have developed a technique, you know, there are so many techniques these days in the spiritual field, right? They all come with the new ideas and they say, this is the technique I am using, and people fall for it, right? And in the Bhagavad Gita, in that part, Acharya Swami says there that andhani niyamanam yatha sangaha, that just like a blind person, he leads others, he pulls a lot of other blind people and telling them that I will show you the way. One blind person is telling so many other blind men that I will show you the way. What will happen is that all of them will go and fall into the pit. Right? So this parampara system, we have to understand the parampara, what does it mean, right? There is nothing new to be invented, right? And there is no new technique either. There is nothing new to be invented, and there is no new technique either, right? Because the vastu what we are talking about is the most ancient thing, existed all the time. So there is nothing new to know about the vastu. Vastu has been existing all the time, right? But every time when you realize it, you realize it is a new thing. But vastu has been existing always, right? And but every time one person realizes the truth, he is experiencing that old truth in his own experience level. That's all, right? So every acharya who comes, they are always talking about the same thing. So whatever Upanishads have spoken, right? Even someone who is present today in the same parampara, he can only talk about that same vastu what was spoken in the Upanishad. There is nothing new he can talk about it, right? If somebody says something new which is not in line with that what was spoken in the Upanishad, whether it is Ajahn Swami is saying, whether it is Shankaracharya, or whether it is Ramana Maharshi, or whether it is Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, whoever it may be, right, don't listen to them. They are saying this because they understand what the truth is. Truth is eternal. It has always been the same truth, and that's what we have to realize, right? Because satyam or truth, nobody can invent it, new thing. No invention is possible. And nobody can bring it back in another form. Satyam is satyam always, right? And that satyam, when that's truth, when you are addressing that with love and affection, then it's called Bhagavan. That's satyam, right? And that's all. Because you are addressing that satyam as Krishna. You feel a priyam towards Krishna that way. Krishna is satyam, satyam baram dhimahi, Bhagavadam says, right? So, when Krishna appeared, all the devada, garbhastuti is there. They addressed him as satyam, is it not? When Krishna appeared, satyavradam satyabharam tra satyam, satyam ja satyam nihidam ja satya, satyatra yonim krita satya netram satyalmagam tuam sharanam prapannaha. That's how the devas addressed Krishna as satyam. Satyam, right? So, how many times he has used that word satyam in that verse, right? So, satyam is Krishna. Krishna is the satyam. Satyam means what? Something that doesn't change. Remains as it is forever. From beginning to end. There is no beginning, there is no end. It remains pure consciousness, bodham, right? And that is satyam. Under no circumstances, under no influence, right, it doesn't change. So, whatever may change in this world, satyam doesn't change, remains as it is. And that is why he was called as satyam. Satyam requires some definitions in that way. And only then you can say it is satyam. That one which doesn't change under the influence of time, right? And another thing about that is, whoever realizes it should be the same one at the end. You can't realize it in different ways, satyam. That means, when it is realized, the experience he gets it, it is the same for everybody, for everyone, right? So, if you ask this question, if satyam exists like that, and that satyam is what Krishna is saying here as Kshetrajna. That satyam is addressed as Kshetrajna, right? Kshetram is continuously changing. Kshetrajna never changes. This is a huge difference. You see, in Bhagavadam, when Sri Narada Maharshi spoke to Prahlada, he took special care to explain what Kshetram and Kshetrajna is there. In another way, is it not? He spoke about the six changes continuously happening to the body. And therefore, Kshetram is like that. That six characteristics belongs to Kshetram. And then, about the Andaryami inside, he said 12 characteristics he spoke about that. That to make it more clear to him. This is spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is breaking up Kshetram, Kshetrajna and knowing both in the proper way. Knowing well that Kshetrajna is real, Kshetram is temporary. And if you study all, if you tabulate them, the 6 qualities of the Kshetram, 12 qualities of the Kshetrajnam, and you see, compare them both, and then you will know what Krishna is saying in this chapter. And this clarity Prahlada got while he was in the womb of Kayadhu. He got it there. There itself he got it. And therefore, when he came out, there was nothing to educate Prahlada anymore. Prahlada's state of consciousness was, he was very clear about Kshetram, he was very clear about Kshetrajna when he came out from the womb. So therefore, the Shandamarka, Hiranyakashipu, all of them were trying to educate him. He says, what education do I want? There is nothing more to educate than this. When Kshetra Kshetrajnam, this is the reason Ajaya Swami says in the Bhagavad Gita in the beginning itself, Brahma Vidya, Sarva Vidya Pratishtam, he says, there is no other Vidya, knowledge in this world, higher than Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya is the ultimate realization, Brahma Vidya. That's why you see there in the Bhagavad Gita, each chapter, Yoga Shastra, Upanishalsu, Brahma Vidyayam, Yoga Shastra, Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade, Pratamodhyaya, Dujjidhyaya, like that. Yeah. So, Brahma Vidya means that all other Vidya is subordinate to that, inferior to that. All other Vidya in this world, all other, it doesn't matter what it is, any other knowledge in this world is subordinate to Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya, all other Vidya is present in this world because of Brahma Vidya. Sarva Vidya Pratishtam. Pratishta is, this is the foundation. Brahma Vidya is the foundation on which all the other avidya has come. All avidya has come because Brahma Vidya is there behind that as the foundation of everything. So that thing he is explaining here, that seeing this body and the Kshetrajna and Kshetram. So Kshetram covers everything, gross body, subtle body, and then the world outside, all it is a part of the Kshetram. And within all that, and this Kshetram is continuously changing, nothing is permanent. And if you look yourself inside, you look yourself inside yourself, you will notice one thing, that your desires have been changing throughout life, is it not? When you were a small boy or girl, you had certain desires. When you grow up, the desire, nature of the desire has changed. And then when you get to the middle age, desires change again. As you get older, the desires are changing. And when you are close to death, what happens? The desires of, all desires have gone, all other desires, you realize that they are all useless, right? So according, like the body is changing, the desires are also changing inside, right? So gross body is changing, and similarly the subtle body is changing, that means our attitudes in life is changing. Similarly the ego also is changing. Ahankaram, what you felt when you were young, is not there. You started realizing that you're all helpless in this world, there's not much you can do about it, and therefore either you take Krishna shelter more, or you become in a little, how do you say, indifferent to life, right? So, just like when you're going to school, you're feeling that I'm a student at this particular school, particular uniform, identifying with that school strongly. Then you went to college and you're identifying with the college or university where you went to. This is all the shift in the ahankaram happening inside, right? And then, similarly, when you are a brahmachari, you are feeling that I am a very strong brahmachari, like that. And then that ahankaram, brahmachari ahankaram comes. Then you become a grihastha. And in that grihastha stage, the grihastha's ahankaram comes in life, right? So, every stage in life, if you go back and look at your own life, you can see there that this ahankaram bhavam is continuously changing, right? And similarly, in the same way, if you are a Hindu, you feel that identification as a Hindu, or a Christian, or Islam, or whatever it is, right? And you are saying, one day I am a Hindu, and then suppose I have changed my religion to Christian. I did some rituals, and I decided that I am a Christian from now on. So I changed my identity in that way. right? So similarly, a grahastha householder, if he changes his clothes and he does some, he changes his clothes and he changes to saffron clothes and he thinks that identifies as sannyasi tomorrow. Today he's a grahastha with the white clothes and all, and tomorrow he has changed all his clothes with a danda in the hand. I am a sannyasi from now on. You say like that, right? So similarly, how abhimanam, ahankaram changes inside, right? And similarly, a girl who was in a particular, grown up in a house, got married to some other house, goes there, and when she goes to her husband's house, then her ahankaram, abhimanam, gets shifted from this house to the husband's house, right? So up to that point, till she leaves home, she had attachment for her own father and mother, and very strong attachment to the father and mother, right? And that ahankaram, now when she has started moving to the husband's home, this ahankaram gets shifted to the husband's father, husband's mother also, as well, right? It starts sticking there as well, right? Then she may come home sometimes, sometimes she may like to stay there. And suppose it happens like that, if the girl has gone to husband's home to stay with him in the husband's house, right? Then her ahankaram, when she was living at home with her parents, when she was very attached to her home, it got shifted straight away to the other house, to the husband's house. And then when she come to visit her parents, the parents are saying to her, why don't you stay for a few days? You have not come for a long time. She says, no, I've got a lot of things to do in the husband's home. So the whole ahankaram shifted from here to the other house. That's all, right? Oh, I've got so many things to do. I don't have much time. At one time, she couldn't leave them. And now, after the marriage and got settled in the husband's home, she has no time now to come back, right? So why ahankaram has shifted like that, right? So this is ahankaram. Ahankaram means it is not the gross ahankaram we are talking about. This identification. This will keep changing in our life. It is also like that, right? You feel attached to wife, children and all at one stage. When they are all leaving one after the other, then you say, hell with you, you go. I am going my way. You start realizing that it is only some false information inside me, thinking that they are all permanent with me and they are not going to live. This is some falsity in our own avidya inside, right? So what I'm saying is, ahankaram also keeps changing continuously, right? Buddhi continuously changes. Mind continuously changes. Chitavrittis, body also continuously changes, right? So Krishna, what he has done is, all these things together, body, mind, senses, intelligence, ahankaram, all of them, and with the world together, he gave one name, Kshetra. He put one name to all these things together, called Kshetram, and that Kshetram, Krishna called in the 7th chapter as Aparaprakriti, right? Prakriti, one is Paraprakriti, and the other one is Aparaprakriti, right? And all the things which is changing all the time, which is ahankaram or abhimanam, or then the mind, intelligence, senses, gross body, everything together, which is continuously changing, Krishna called it as aparaprakriti. Aparaprakriti means it, all of them will continuously change. That is its very nature, right? And you won't be able to hold it back in its original form. It is no permanent nature. It will continuously change, right? just like our modern education, you know, how it is, right? You study something, and then when you go to do to find a work, by the time 5-6 years in the university, you wasted. Go and look for a job, you get the job, and the employer is saying, all what you have studied there is all useless now. And then he gives you a course and training on his own starts. Then what do you find? Throughout life you are studying and you are working. Same time. Especially the IT industry people know that. Yeah, all what you studied in the college and all is useless now. It's all been there. That is just to get that paper certificate. And then you come to the job and what do you find, right? So, education is like that, right? All the old education is all useless now. Whatever we studied, there is no value anymore in this world. What can you do? Only the certificate is sitting there. What do you do with that certificate now? The best part in life, wasted. Nothing came out of that. There was no vidya. It was added more avidya into the already existing avidya. So, that is why, you know, in India, they got this BSc degree, BA degree and all. Nobody wants it anymore. Nobody is interested in that. It's there in the university and there are a few teachers and lecturers and all that, right? So, you can see that everybody is into this computer now. Computer is everything now, right? So the education also has changed, right? So, and if you keep looking at all these things, right, there is nothing here that doesn't change. Even education is also changing, right? And everything inside is changing, right? So at that time, Krishna is giving a definition to satyam then, what satyam means, right? And that thing doesn't change. That is Krishna's definition of satyam. That thing doesn't change and which doesn't move. Na sado vidyate bhavam, na bhavo vidyate sada. This definition you don't find in anywhere else, like the way Krishna has defined it in that way, right? So, and that one that doesn't change, that satyam, Krishna calls in this chapter kshetrajna. So, this is important because this, if you keep on looking at it, digging into this again and again, you'll start seeing where Krishna is coming from. Krishna's point is, don't waste your time studying kshetram. It's a waste of time. Study, think about kshetrajna and get that kshetrajna identity back, right? Kshetrajna doesn't change. Kshetram will continuously change. And in order to notice the change in the kshetram, you have to become a kshetrajna. Only if you are a kshetrajna, you can observe all the changes that is happening in the kshetram, right? And give all your focus on the one who is not changing, which is kshetrajna, right? And that one who is knowing all these things, which is kshetrajna, he doesn't go through changes, right? And this is an important message in the Vedantam. Attention taken away from the kshetram to kshetrajna, right? You see, shariram, body, gross body, it goes through childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age, like that, right? And what you were as a childhood, what you were, right? And that me has come to boyhood, and then I came to the youthful age, and then from the youthful to the old age, right, the body has gone through those changes, right? And all that changes what happened in the body, I am noticing it now. Me noticing it, that this has happened, right? I remember when you were a little boy, how strong you were, lot of energy running around, right? And then when you came to the youthful stage, how different emotions came in the body, in the mind, lust, desires and things like that, and pride, ahankaram, all those things, right? And now in the old age, I am seeing also, feeling the weakness of the body, how I am tired, how the old age is affecting me, all that nature of how the youthful stage to the old age, the changes that has happened to me, all these things, right? So, these changes is noticeable to me, right? But that change what is being noticed, by whom? Who is noticing that change? That bodham, consciousness inside, right? Prajna, Jnapti, Astitvam, Anubhavam, all are different words for that. That Bodham, right? That's me. That's me. That's all it is. Knowing that this me, real me is that who was noticing all these changes happening in the body, opening in the mind, opening, happening in the intelligence, happening in the ahankaram, that's being noticed by whom? That's me. That's me. Right? So, and that Krishna, all these things, which is continuously changing, Krishna gave in one name, is called Kshetram, and he says, it is called Idam. So, Idam Shariram Kaundeya Kshetram Ityabhidiyade. That's how Krishna puts it. Idam Shariram Kaundeya Kshetram Ityabhidiyade. And the other one, which was observing all these things, that's Aham, which is Kshetrajna. These words, there is no substitute for that. You got to use those words only. Idam Shariram Kaundeya Kshetram. Aham is Kshetrajna, who is observing all these things, right? So, the one who is observing all these things, and that's Aham, right? And attention should not be to the one what is changing. On the other hand, if you succeed in turning your attention from these changing things to the changeless one, that's self-realization. That's all it is. Because our attention is all fallen onto this changing field called the mind, intelligence, body, world, everything else, that's where the problem is, right? So, whereas the changeless one, which is never changing, that awareness inside, if the attention falls on that, and then you start realizing that you don't change. Change is for the body, change is for the mind. And in that way, able to see everything from the changeless situation, from that awareness, I don't change, everything else is changing. And body also, when the changes are happening, as quickly as possible, right? If I can shift my awareness from the changing body to the awareness platform, Bodham, right? I am free then. How quickly, if you are able to shift your focus from the changing body, changing mind, changing other thing, all which is changing, the moment you are able to shift your attention from this changing nature to the changeless one, immediately you are free. That's all it is, yeah? So, even though all the changes are happening there, right, you have to notice this one, that the changes, you cannot stop it. About the Kshetram, the changes, you cannot stop it, right? That also you have to notice that. Prakrtedha anyadha bhavam na kaschid bhavishyasi. Prakriti, to stop its change, right? That means anyadha bhavam. Anyadha bhavam means that it's changing, you want to reverse it back to its original form. That's not possible in Prakriti. For example, my youthful age, if I want to get it back, I can't get it, can I? It's not possible. Whatever I may do, I won't get it back, right? So, everyone likes to be youthful, but it is not possible, right? Whatever I may do externally, inside, I won't get that youthful mind, youthful nature, right? So, you will lose that. And therefore, balyam, yauvanam, kaumaram, vardakyam, all these things, balyam, kaumaram, yauvanam, vardakyam, that is something where you have no control over it. So, first thing to understand is this, that Prakriti is subject to change and you have no control over it. No control over it, right? And when this old age will come, you don't know. It has come and comes in different forms, it attacks you, right? So, And the body is continuously changing. And not only is changing, every second it is changing. Right? But why did I not know about that? All I have to go and to look into the mirror. And then everything is very clear. What has happened, isn't it? So, body, it is like that. I have to accept it. That without my knowledge, without my awareness, these changes have happened inside. Similarly, old age is like this, that you know very well that gradually the body start withering away. And body is showing its symptoms all the time. You feel weak and sometimes you feel you could drop down any time, right? So when the old age comes, how come it comes like that? Without my knowledge, it is happening. That shows that so many things are happening in the body without our own knowledge of it, what's happening, right? So, the most important thing is here, is saying that the changes that is happening in the body is constantly happening, right? Creation, destruction, all those things are happening. But we are not conscious of that completely. What is going on inside this body, right? That's why even if you try very hard, the body will react its own way. It takes some time to realize that I have no control over it. Initially you think that, oh, I want the doctors, consultants and medicines and pharmacies and science and all these things. But when it starts happening, a time will come in life that you start realizing that there's nothing much you can do about it. Its time has come. As Krishna says, Prarabdham is playing its role. And Prarabdham will decide in which condition, how long it should stay. Right? So, two things here. I have no connection with this body. Krishna is teaching this to us. I have no connection with this body. And then, body is going through the changes. Right? And this knowledge, able to accept that first with intelligence. One has to accept that on an intellectual level. That alone takes time. Even on an intellectual level to accept this takes time. Even if it's explained all that, we may say yes, 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 yes and all. But as soon as we leave outside, we'll say old story. We'll fall back into the body again, right? So, when we start accepting that a little bit inside, that this body, I have no control over it, nor with the mind, nor with the ahankaram or buddhi, any of them, right? When you start realizing that I have no control over all these things, that is the time when you start thinking, what is the soul then? That's when the inquiry of the soul comes. The one who is not changing. Because up to this point, we are only used to this one thing. This body, this mind, these senses. And none of them stays steady, always changing, all of them. And I have to first get convinced myself that I have no control over all these things. That is the point, time, when you will ask this question, what is that thing which doesn't change? So to come to that question, it takes time. That is why in Vedantam schools of thought, they will always say this, Nityam Anitya Vastu Vivekam, it's called. Able to start thinking that way, that this body is all, I can't trust this body, I can't trust this mind, I can't trust anything, because everything is changing. How can I put my faith in any of these things? If I am convinced on that, then where should I put my faith in then? something that doesn't change, which is the Atma, Kshetrajna, inside, right? So, and that is the only realization what we need in the beginning, right? So that recognition has to come from inside, right? So, you see, for science, research is important, is it not, right? Here, research is not important. You don't need to do any research on this, right? Here, what is required is cognition. Able to recognize things in its real form. So that is the difference between science and spiritual life. In science, you are going on researching in the world to find new things, new information, new knowledge like this. You go on and on and on and on. But in spiritual life, no research is not going to help. In spiritual, what is required is cognition. Recognizing things, right? That finding out what exists really here. Body doesn't exist. Mind doesn't exist. Ahankaram doesn't exist. What exists is the Antaryami inside, right? So that time you realize that there is nothing to be researched and find out. All it is required is recognition of the truth. And that is called Pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna, the word for that, right? So that Pratyabhijna is called the Kshetrajna Jnanam. Knowledge of the Kshetrajna, right? So knowing this Kshetrajna is what is known as knowing Krishna. Knowing Krishna, right? So, and that is called, in another word, it is used as Mukti, liberation, all these things, right? So, it is based on this concept that my real Swarupam is that permanent thing, not this temporary body, mind, senses and all these things, right? And that my real nature, I don't change. That you also can see that. The me who has gone through childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age now, is the same me. What started, all these changes happened in the body, right? So Krishna is saying that, right? At that moment, he says, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi. All these things don't exist in me really. In my real identity, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi doesn't exist. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi is all for the body. For the real self, Antaryami inside, there is no Janmam, there is no Maranam. There is no Vyadhi, there is no Jara. Again, remember that here. Yeah? So, and all what is happening in that state of Antaryami, this Pratibhasam, what these phenomena called body, mind, senses, all these things comes and goes. So in the Pratibhasam, these things do exist. Jananam, Maranam, Vyadhi, everything. And all those things cannot be explained. It is inexplicable. Which one? The changes that's happening in the body. You can't stop it and you can't explain it either. How will you explain that? Why am I changing from youthful life? Why do I have to change into an old body, old age? Where is the answer? There is no answer to that. So, thinking, going in this direction, the way Krishna is talking about is to make us more conscious that Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi and all, what he has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, is all referring to this changing part of it, not the unchanging one. And till we get that unchanging identity, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. So, all Krishna is asking us is, come to this unchanging, develop the connection with the unchanging one, rather than the changing body, changing mind, everything. And then that's all. That if one succeeds in doing that in this life, he says he has no death. And that's why he said, Mrityu Atyanda Vismriti. What is Mrityu, he says? Atyanda Vismriti. Forgetfulness of this one body and remembering another body in this way, right? So, after saying that, Krishna said that, once this Pratyabhijna comes inside, right, the Jiva is already, Jiva Bhavam is gone. And so that's what Krishna is saying there. You see in that word, Kshetram Kshetrajnayor Jnanam, in that second verse he said, Kshetram Kshetrajnayor Jnanam, Yatta jnanam matam mama, he says. That is knowledge, he says. That is a knowledge of me. Yatta jnanam matam mama. This is my opinion, he says, like that. Right? So, that's where it is. And we will continue with this now, tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Dinadhyan Mahaprabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.